Greetings, this is Blake the Eccentric, and I want to invite you to check out my show on Freedomizer Radio,
The Eccentric Perspective,
featuring outside-the-box politics, philosophy, and gonzo journalism. But be warned, with knowledge comes responsibility, and you might not see the world the same way again as I attempt to open your mind, speak to your common sense, and challenge your critical thinking skills. So please join me as I cover the latest news and current events Monday, Wednesday, and Thursday at noon Pacific, 3 o'clock Eastern, only on Freedomizer Radio.
All right. Greetings and welcome. It is Thursday, June 19th of 2014, and I am your host, Blake the Eccentric, and this is the Eccentric Perspective on Freedomizer Radio. And as usual, I will be here live for an hour and a half covering the latest news and current events. And it is a busy day. Contrasting with yesterday, it is certainly a lot of huge headlines going on in the world. So it's going to be busy. But if you would like to, try to drive the news or influence it, or, you can call up and debate, give your opinion, do whatever, or interact on the chat room. There's a few ways of getting involved here. You can join us at freedomizerradio.com, post a link to something recent and relevant, or interact with me there, or you can call me directly. That would be 347-324-3704. Get your opinion, your thoughts. Anywho, so, yeah, I'll give you a rundown of the headlines today. Oh, let me see if I can pull this up. Lots of stuff here. Big immigration news. That's, of course, been one of the big hot stories the last couple of weeks. So we got a few different angles on that. Big problem in Iraq as, one thing at a time here. I don't even know what to say here. We've got apparently these crazy ISIS jihadists have seized Saddam Hussein's chemical weapons. Isn't that comforting? Okay, so we've got that going on. How about public faith in Congress falls again? It's a historic low. So yesterday we were getting hit with those very ugly numbers for Obama, and even cheerleader Chuck Todd was caught making a remark saying the presidency is over. And speaking of over, there's been some interesting, there's been a lot of talk about the impeachment of Obama. There was actually an excellent article out of the Washington Post yesterday that I retweeted. Even the left is kind of saying that, if they don't hold the Senate, that it's very likely that there could be some impeachment. But there was also an excellent article from Melissa Melton that I picked up out of the Activist Post, which is basically saying that this is pretty much impossible. Give it up. And she makes a lot of good points there. So I will cover that as well. Of course, bombshell last night with the IRS that the all of Lois Lerner's emails just disappeared. How convenient. All right, so that's what I've got in the news today. But as I've said, if you've seen something else that needs some coverage, it's hard to overshadow all of these other things, but if you have something, please feel free to drop it in the chat room or to call me directly. Again, that's 347-324-3704. Otherwise, I'd be happy to entertain your opinion on any of these things because, it is an action-packed day of news on this June 19th. So, that being said, I don't even know where to begin. I guess I've got all the stories. just totally overwhelmed. But anyway, where is my studio here? Okay. Assuming you can get in the chat room, that's always of concern. But anyway, wonder if I should just start with the impeachment. I know I see Larry on hold, but why don't we discuss that? We'll basically start where we left off. Larry was very pessimistic about there being an impeachment. I was trying to be optimistic, saying that if there was a majority in the Senate, that maybe it's a possibility. So it's all going to depend on November, and of course, whenever the new Senate takes place. And I wasn't quite sure about that. If they had the same kind of lame duck session that the president does. Tessa put an excellent crack research team yesterday, did find an article talking about that. I believe it's January 20th is inauguration day, or maybe it depends on the year of when the new group gets control. And, yeah, from there they could proceed. Brian also asked me yesterday if that was what they needed for a majority in the Senate. Because right now what we do know is that if they did want to pass impeachment, it could go through the House, no problem. But the Senate is where it becomes an obstacle. And Brian was wondering if it was 75% majority. I wasn't quite sure. I have found out that it is two-thirds. So we would need 67 out of the 100 senators to vote in order to get it done. So the odds are, and Melissa Melton kind of put it together today. Yes, Brian, in fact, just tweeted me. Says, it is time to impeach. Overdue, really. The NSA was enough for me. So I'm going to start with the, I think Melissa Melton. Why not? She deserves to get the headline story of the day. Maybe, Larry says he's a realist. I said he was cynical. Maybe I'm a hopeless optimist. Maybe I'm an idealist. I don't know. But, Melissa Melton did a pretty good job of summing that up. So we'll share on that. Brian also apparently shared a couple of links on my Facebook. I'll see if I can pull that up to cover. But I am going to start with Melissa Melton and the big impeachment. We'll carry over here. And is this a possibility or not? Oh, and there was a really interesting, forgot to go check out, I'm going to get sidetracked here. Brian is sharing with some immigration news. I will check that out, Brian, but that's going to be, have to wait for the next segment, I suppose, as I cover. So what is the reality with the impeachment idea? So let me see if I can pull it up here. That might help. All right. How about this? It's called Another Meaningless Gesture. House has enough votes to impeach Obama. And so critical thinkers and those people who don't get the majority of their news from the mainstream media are well aware by now that Obama's actions up to this point in America's history have been worthy of impeachment for years now. Yet, he continues to completely ignore the Constitution, and he continues to do so right in Congress's collective faith, as if even the ones who will openly admit Obama's actions are in contempt of this country are all hostages in some backwoods basement somewhere tied to chairs without the ability to do anything about it but watch in horror as each new day passes. So the most recent congressperson to come forward, and I covered this article yesterday, was from Representative Lou Barletta, who recently announced on news radio 910 WSBA, that there are likely enough votes in the House to impeach Obama. And so here's a quote. This was also in the Washington Post. It says, it's actually linking to a different one than I retweeted yesterday, but that's okay. But here's the quote. "We have a president that's taken us to a new level, and it's put us in a real position where he just absolutely ignoring the Constitution and ignoring the laws and ignoring the checks and balances. You know, the problem is, you know, what do you do for those that say impeach him for breaking the laws or bypassing the laws? You know, that could that pass in the House? Yeah, it probably could," Barletta said. "But is the majority of the American people in favor of impeaching the president? I'm not sure." Anyway, this sort of thing has been popping up like clockwork every few months for years now as well. And while headlines about Obama's impeachment sound just swell, after all, anyone paying the attention who knows even a little bit about the Constitution could easily rattle off multiple instances that have made Obama worthy of impeachment proceedings at this point. But, yeah, where do we start? Brian's NSA, I mean, is that with Obamacare or Benghazi or the IRS or Fast and Furious? You get lost. There's so many. The targeting of the media, the AP and whatever. Of course, they lost the evidence for the IRS one. Maybe some of the invasion of Libya. What else? What? I mean, there's so many. I mean, you got to, like, literally put together. I mean, there's a list. You could put it all together. And that's just off the top of my head. But here we go from Melissa Melton says, "The truth is, there will be no impeachment. Not even when the Washington Post also tells you." Actually, here it is. It's from Jonathan Capehart, and it's actually a very well-written article. I liked it, even though this is coming from more of a left-leaning person from, I think he was MSNBC. I don't remember. I'll have to dig up his bio. It's really not important. But, let's see here. I'm getting a text from Brian. Brian saying, yes, Obamacare was a fraud, straight up. And, of course, other impeachment worthy. The VA scandal, Bergdahl. Negotiating with terrorists. How about this leaving the border wide open right now? I mean, there's just, the list is just goes on and on. Just the blatant things that this president just gets away with is just disgusting. Yes, Obamacare was a fraud. It was all based on lies. It's all a big disaster. And all the people that signed up for it, either qualified for Medicare or they qualified for subsidies. Which is just more money to the taxpayers, I suppose, or what other one, Solyndra. I mean, it's just, it's unbelievable. This guy is just, I don't even know, I can't even put the words together to describe how insane this is and all the bad things. Yeah, Brian's saying the IRS cover-up is worse than Watergate. And I completely agree. It is way beyond water. Watergate was nothing. I mean, you just imagine what we tolerate now. Watergate is a big. I mean, if there was no Nixon and Watergate was, let's say, Obama did the exact same thing with Watergate, and he was bugging some offices and that. And there was no, Nixon was just an afterthought. He was just a former president, and that didn't happen, whatever. And if that was just one of these scandals, I mean, we wouldn't even mention it amongst everything else. That would be like the last one. And you'd be like, oh, and he was also, Obama also did the Watergate thing. Remember when he was bugging the offices, and people would be like, oh, big deal. Compared to the rest of the scandals, that would be like, oh, that's not even worth mentioning. That wouldn't even be in the top 10 of all of the things that Obama has been involved with. Yes, Brian, yes, Fast and Furious, Benghazi. I mean, it goes on and on. It's just totally out of control, totally lawless. And, yeah, But it gets worse, and we'll get back to the so you're thinking, hey, you know, the Republicans take the majority in the Senate. Maybe they could change things. And I don't know. I don't know where this goes. Yeah, it's a two-thirds majority in Senate. Yeah, Brian's saying, yeah, Obama's NSA bugging the entire – yeah, but yeah, Nixon just bugged some offices, and Obama bugged the entire planet and then lied about it. I mean, this is—it's so beyond. It's so many thousands of degrees worse. If that even makes any sense, I just don't know how to put this. I don't know how to put that in perspective, and how insane and outrageous and crazy this is. But you would think, hopefully, if you get the majority, no, perhaps not. Though, unfortunately, that was me leaving on an optimistic note yesterday until Melissa Melton, little article here today. But it's all good. We'll deal with the truth is the truth. And but I mean, there's still I guess could be a silver lining, but I'll get into that. So let me reread this last sentence I took from her article. That's right. Okay, so no impeachment. No one is going to impeach Obama. Not today, not tomorrow, not ever. You heard me. It's just not going to happen. The system of checks and balances, an integral part of the Constitution of the United States of America that allows each of the three branches of government to limit the powers of the others, can no longer possibly be applied in Obama's case, and thus it simply no longer exists in this country. Worse, Obama knows it. How can I so easily say that? Trust me, it isn't easy, but it is the truth. Now, according to Communities Digital News, sums up this sad day in American history very well. They say President Obama will not be impeached. Is President Obama a failed leader? Absolutely. Is he lazy? Of course. Is he corrupt? Brazenly. Is he a bully who abuses his power? Most definitely. Has he lied about everything from the effects of his signature policies to scandals more serious than those of Bill Clinton and Richard Nixon combined? With zero doubt. Should he be impeached? Absolutely not. And for those screaming about impeachment, ask a simple question. What prosecutor in their right mind brings a proceeding against a defendant when the chance of acquittal is 100% and the chance of conviction is 0%? Now, try convicting President Obama. Now, it requires 67 Senate votes. Republicans currently hold 45 Senate seats. Even a wave 2014 election will get the GOP between 50 and 55 seats, not 67. And even if every Republican stood on principle, which they did not during the Clinton impeachment trial of 1998, try finding 12 Senate Democrats willing to put their country above their party and racial politics. And there you have it. So even if every Republican senator we have stood on principle, we would still need 12 Democrats willing to do that too. Yeah, good luck with that. So go ahead and look out your window. Open your I'm going to get into the Howard Beale thing. Look out your window. Do you see any pigs flying out there? Has hell frozen over yet? Because it would take at least that much for anyone keeping score to even waste their time getting their hopes up that Obama will be ousted from the Oval Office. So, in essence, President Obama can continue to sign executive orders until he gets a hand cramp. He can feign ignorance on scandal after scandal. He can arm terrorists in other nations while actively campaigning to disarm American citizens at home. He can continue to inform Congress about his decisions to free Taliban terrorists from Guantanamo Bay after the fact, and then inform Congress when he decides to send more troops to Iraq, continue to hand over more and more power to the international community, thus setting the precedent for future presidents, all while he continues to use the Constitution as toilet paper, and in the meantime, our borders can just get overrun with illegal immigrants and the ultimate goal of overwhelming the system, Cloward and Piven, and our president will just faithfully continue his duties as puppet for the shareholders of the United States of America Incorporated. Business as usual. Because you can be sure, no matter what President Obama does at this point, no matter what new unconstitutional horror he unleashes upon America tomorrow, it cannot and will not possibly affect him either way. It's official. The system is completely broken. President Obama is above the law. All right, and there you have it. There's your bad news on this Thursday morning. I was optimistic. I was hoping perhaps November, maybe January, we could see the beginnings of some impeachment proceedings. But even with a big victory like with the Senate, like 2010, another big swing, without some Democrats' help, it's pretty much not going to happen, which really is not good. at least, let me see what Brian is saying. Obama, let's see here. Patriot attempts, we should make this an election issue. If elected, will you impeach? But the problem is with the Democrats. Will they switch sides, or is it just going to be blatantly partisan? Brian says, McCarthy named House Majority Leader. So the oligarchs don't get it. Business as usual. Who is going to – who are the 12 in the Senate, Democrats, who would do this? That's assuming you get a majority. That's assuming you get a good victory. I think picking up 10 seats would be quite a victory. That would be definitely a positive step. But with a two-thirds majority – it's going to be really difficult. So I don't know. So how is this going to happen? Do we have to pretty much – or I mean, that's tough now. I don't even know what to say. I guess I was kind of hoping that. But, I mean, on another note, you impeach Obama and then what? You get stuck with Joe Biden. But there's got to be other ways. Now, if you can't impeach him, well, hopefully you can get 12 Democrats that'll say enough's enough. I can't stand by and continue to do this, even though we're, part of the same party. I don't know. Is that wishful thinking? Perhaps. What else? But I mean, if you have a big majority in the House, which you already have already, but even more so, and even more so in a majority in the Senate. And I guess Obama would be forced to have to use executive orders for everything in order to get any of his agenda done, because it would never go anywhere. What do you do? Or is just basically we're just going to be left with a lame duck situation? Because, yeah, even if you impeach Obama, you're basically, it's just history in a way would be repeating itself. And maybe, I don't know, would he resign? No. But even if he did resign, we're still stuck with Biden. I mean, that would be just the... It would be like Nixon. It would be like the second coming of Gerald Ford. Imagine Joe Biden as the president. I don't know. Or could you just – I mean, like I said, I think you should just round up the entire administration and remove them. But who are you going to replace them with? I don't know. We're all in, like, unprecedented territory. I mean, this is a major historical event. I don't know what to say anymore. I really don't. Brian says we need a shellacking, a liberty tsunami, but it may have to wait until 2016. We might be forced to be stuck with a lame duck president who's trying to pass executive orders with his pen and his phone, because that's the only way he can get his agenda through, and that might be the story of the next 2 years. But anyway, I don't know what to say anymore. And I haven't even gotten to some of the other really crazy news. But there we go. A little bad news off the beginning, off the top. But as I've said, You know, would impeachment be the solution? It would be a nice step. Absolutely, it would. It would be historic. It would be awesome. But then, like I said, I mean, would were we a lot better under Gerald Ford? Was he an effective guy? Is Joe Biden going to be the answer? Would that be worse? That's another question. I don't know. I don't know where this goes. But, I don't know. We'll move on. What else do I want to do? I mean, there's so many red links on Drudge right now. It's a disaster everywhere. All right. How about, now there's two more red links. What is, this is sort of news to me. I've been seeing some stuff about this, Scott Walker. Apparently in some hot water up in Wisconsin here. I don't know what's going on, but there's two red links on Drudge right now. Maybe I can talk about these before I go to break, because I'm not really sure. Maybe I'm out of the loop here. Here's a couple red links. Prosecutors are accusing Scott Walker of running a criminal scheme. Prosecutors accuse Governor Scott Walker of personally overseeing a sweeping criminal scheme to illegally coordinate fundraising and campaign activity among conservative groups in a broad effort to help him and Republican senators fend off recalls in 2011 and 2012, court documents made public Thursday show. In the documents unsealed by a federal appeals judge, prosecutors described what they call a criminal scheme to circumvent state campaign finance and election laws. They said the coordinated effort involved conservative groups, Walker, his campaign, and top allies of the governor, including political consultants of his. The prosecutors alleged that Walker and those allies raised money and coordinated spending with about a dozen conservative groups during the recall elections. They even cite a May 2011 email from Walker to prominent GOP strategist Karl Rove, saying that Johnson would lead the coordination. Okay, how about this? Bottom line, I guess they keep in place a team that is wildly successful, and I don't even know where this is going. Like I said, I don't really have a background in this, and I'm kind of covering it for the first time on the fly, on the spot. So, what happens here? The documents show how the prosecutors adopted a blatantly unconstitutional interpretation of Wisconsin law that they used to launch a secret criminal investigation targeting conservatives throughout Wisconsin. That legal theory has now been rejected by two courts. I don't know. Maybe I need some background in this, or maybe somebody needs to explain this to me like I'm a six-year-old so I can figure out exactly what this is all about here. Or what he did, apparently a naughty boy, or at least according to the prosecutors. They're alleging he's at a criminal scheme, but what is exactly, what is he doing? To coordinate fundraising among conservative groups to help his campaign? I'm not really sure what's so illegal about that. Not that I'm standing up for Scott Walker in any way. I don't care. Raising money and controlling spending through 12 conservative groups during the recall elections. But, I mean, this just sounds like, until somebody can explain to me why this is so bad, I really don't know what to say. Brian is telling me to focus on IRS cover-up. Yeah, I'm just filling in some time here because it's actually time for my break. So, anyway, why don't I do that? Yeah, I just wanted to cover a little breaking news. Where's my, This just in, a couple of red links on Drudge talking about corruption charges against Scott Walker. I'm covering it live on air, and I have no idea what it's all about. But you know what? Okay, I'm going to take a break here. That's basically what it's about. I'm going to take a break, And I'm going to be back on the other side. And, yeah, so we've got the three I's coming up. We've got Iraq, we've got immigration, and we have the IRS. And as Brian says, yeah, maybe I should start with the IRS. So why don't I do that, and we'll be right back. Stick around a couple minutes. Blake, the eccentric perspective on Freedomizer Radio.
My name is Dr. Eric Norman. I have studied vitamin B12 deficiency for over 35 years. I have developed the urinary MMA test to detect tissue B12 deficiency early, allowing treatment and prevention of permanent disability. B12 deficiency can cause anemia, but also neurologic problems such as spinal cord degeneration, paranoia, and dementia. B12 is found only in animal sources, so vegetarians become deficient. As people age, they may not produce enough stomach acid or intrinsic factor protein for absorption of B12 and become deficient. Up to 10% of seniors may have a normal serum B12 level, but a tissue B12 deficiency causing a 3 times greater risk for heart attack, stroke, or Alzheimer's. For more information, visit B12.com.
Hi, everyone. This is the Rose, Rose Colombo. Be sure to tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 10:30 to noon Pacific Daylight Time and 1:30 to 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for the Justice Club on Freedomizer Radio. Grab a snack, grab a latte, grab a friend, or grab a stranger. I've been on the front lines for 25 years, and I've been labeled as the crusader for equal rights by the media many times. So join my crusade on the Justice Club at Freedomizer Radio every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 10:30 to noon Pacific Daylight Time and 1:30 to 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time.
Oh, you want to heal the world? Oh, you can't do that. You know, you got to elect the right people. No, change your thinking. Change the way you feel. Change the way you do things. Do everything for peace. Like John Lennon said, walk for peace. You take a shower for peace. Do whatever you do for peace.
Every time you do that, you set a ripple effect out.
Because we live in a vibrational world, and your brain is the instrument. To learn how to direct and control your mind, you guys are superheroes. You know, they don't want you to know that, but you are. You guys are the most powerful people in the world.
We see the power in you to change your thinking. Monday, Wednesday, Friday, and Saturday, only on Freedomizer Radio.
All right. I am back. Blake the eccentric perspective on Freedomizer Radio. And before I dig into the the latest bombshell out of the IRS, why don't I pull up Larry, who's been patiently holding, get his take on it. You can tell me. He told me so. All right. Hello, Larry. How are you?
Hi, Blake. And I don't really do that. I told you so much. It's just that if you see storm clouds coming, you say it's going to rain.
Close, Catherine.
You know, am I a negative person or just a realist that looks at the obvious? Okay. And you call me a skeptic. And I just look at the storm clouds and say, well, it's going to rain. You there? Crap, I lost signal, I bet. Well, maybe not. What the heck happened?
All right. Looks like I am back. So it wasn't Larry. It was apparently, perhaps it was my phone. Yeah, not my computer. It was my phone, which disconnected, or a little blog talk hiccup. But I am back. All right. That was unusual. All right, well, let me pull Larry back up here. Sorry about that, Larry. You back?
Well, that's all right. I thought it was me, and I disconnected and called back in. I was like, okay, so I guess it wasn't me.
Yeah, no, I can hear you fine, and all of a sudden, yeah, everything just went weird. I'll blame Blog Talk. No worries.
Yeah, why not? Yeah, that's cool. But anyway, yeah, I just look at the realist part of it. You know, look at what they did with Clinton. And did Clinton step down? No, he stayed in office.
That was a Mickey
really
Mouse issue even, compared to all the stuff going on now.
Well, he should have been put in jail for allowing China to have our AWACS plane.
Well,
but that was during the Clinton
I know Clinton was disgustingly corrupt, and I'm kind of curious why they would try to impeach him for the same issue that they did.
Stop. What Clinton did was high treason. Forget the Monica Lewinsky cigar thing. Okay.
I got you, but that's not why they brought him up. So it's kind of a, you know.
All right, but anyway, he didn't step down. Okay. So even if you impeached blah blah, it would be nothing, amount to nothing, because he wouldn't step down unless you sent U.S. marshals. Unless you sent U.S. marshals, handcuffed him, took him to a real jail, locked his ass up, and held him with no bond because he's a flight risk, and took him to trial for high treason. Impeachment's a joke and a waste of the taxpayers' money and a waste of time for Congress.
Interesting
point. The best thing to do is to arrest him, handcuff him, throw him in jail, no bond, and hold him for trial.
We did take the whole administration out, though. But, I mean, yeah, because, I mean, if you just cut off the head, then, you know, like the Hydra.
Yeah. Well, no, he's not even the head. He's just a finger. And
right. So,
the
I mean, Biden would be the same agenda.
It.
Right.
Well, the New World Order is flipping us a finger. Well, it would send a message to Biden to straighten up or else he's next. But you'd also have to do Eric Holder, Valerie Jarrett, and the rest of that ilk be locked up, handcuffed, thrown in jail. No warrant, no bond, because they're all flight risks. They could all fly to a different country and not be touched. So, you know, and Biden, I'm sure if you dug deep enough, you could find things to handcuff his butt up.
Well, he'd
hang
himself if he was in charge for 2 years and he wasn't, off script. They wouldn't be able to, hide him like they've tried to do for the last year. So that wouldn't work.
Well, he hasn't totally hit. He's done some things in the past. It's just they don't get talked about a lot. I don't know what exactly it was. I heard Alex Jones talking about it one day a while back. But he had done some things that were just blatantly unconstitutional. And really, technically, if while in office you do something knowingly, willingly, that violates the Constitution and goes against we the people, you've committed an act of treason. And, yeah, it's two-thirds of the Senate that it takes to impeach, and then three-fourths is what it takes to get an amendment passed. I was going to tell you that yesterday, but it was too late. Yeah, three-fourths is what it takes for an amendment to the Constitution to be passed under the new Constitution. The original Constitution, the Articles of Confederation for a Perpetual Union, said that it had to be a unanimous vote. So technically, even the U.S. Constitution that people are familiar with isn't even legal because it was not a unanimous vote.
Interesting.
But they didn't. But how they skirted around that was a mere loophole or technicality, because they didn't amend the Articles of Confederation. They just created a new constitution. So they didn't violate the Articles of Confederation because they didn't amend it. So now they don't need 100% agreement. But, you know, that's what happens when you let politicians make a bureaucracy and a corporation out of your
damn lawyers.
Centralized federal government. Yeah, that. Well, actually, back then, they weren't lawyers. But the problem was we had gotten infiltrated by Tories, you know, English sympathizers that resented the fact that we broke away from jolly old England.
British law, yeah.
Yeah, and see, that's where you're being too nice gets you, okay? Sometimes you have to get tough. You have to break out the rope, and you have to make a bunch of people tree ornaments, because if you don't,
that was
18th
century stuff. I think we need a new 21st century solution to these things where we don't – I think it's kind of like the Ring of Mordor analogy where if you like – or, you know, if you use that level, if you sink down to their level, then you become – like them, you become what you hated. I don't know.
Yeah,
that's
but you're not
well,
because you no, you're not sinking to their level, though, Blake. You're just punishing them for the crime that they commit. You don't let a child rapist go free, do you?
No.
Okay, good. I'm glad you agree with that.
You stick
what
them on an island
the
where they can be happy amongst themselves
oh,
and stay away from our
crap.
Children.
Right, a volcanic, an active volcano island where they can't escape, and there's no way to make
rather,
boats out of.
Exactly. Yeah, there you go. Then you could have,
they
have it patrolled and
okay.
Satellites
but
watch it,
die.
Drones.
Yeah. And when the volcano
you
erupts,
say, hey,
and it
you can be
them
happy.
All.
Yeah. Go watch TV. Go play video
Blake.
Games. I don't care. Do whatever you want. Be happy amongst yourselves. Just stay away from
Blake.
Our children, and you're allowed to go live in peace. But if you
Blake.
Elect to stay in the United States and harm any kids, then you deal with the consequences, and I'll put Larry in charge of what he wants to do. How about that?
What if
is
they
that
murder
a happy
what
solution?
If, no. No. Right. What if they murder a child?
Well, like I said, you give them an option. You say, hey, I know there's maybe there's something wrong with you, and you have this insatiable urge to harm children. Well, that's okay. You're allowed to, have your own ideals, but you have to live
no,
in
no,
a place
I didn't say harm.
Isolated
no, no,
from the rest
stop,
of us.
Stop. Blake,
okay.
Blake, right. That's not what I said. I said, what if they murder a child?
Boy. Well, I guess maybe you hope that they elect to want to die, and then they can just be like, hey, let's. They have to be isolated from society. Do you have the eye for an eye mentality? That's a good question, Larry. I don't know exactly where I stand. I'm not totally opposed to the death penalty necessarily.
Hey, you still have that far left part of you left inside you. You're not totally deprogrammed from the old days. Eventually, we will cleanse your brain of that garbage.
I said I wasn't totally opposed to the death penalty. And in fact, I think it's a lot of it's a waste of taxpayer resources to keep them alive. So at a certain level, I think it should be up to states and local to decide what they want to do. In my case, it's tough. I would want the people to decide. Do we want to keep this person alive at this much expense, or do we just, get rid of them because they serve no purpose and they can't be rehabilitated, so they're basically done? Find a humane way to take them out. Hopefully they volunteer themselves, but if not, then it'll be up to the people to decide, how we want to use their resources.
No, Blake, when they murdered a little child, they volunteered themselves. Plain and
simple. I mean, everyone knows the difference between right and wrong, and they literally made a bad decision, and they know that, and they have to deal with the consequences, I suppose. So,
As far as I'm concerned, if you willfully, with intent, murdered a child, you already made the decision that you want to die. Period.
I'm not going to disagree with you. So, okay, fair enough.
So they deserve the death penalty. And,
all right, but
as far as
dealing with the politicians that are in power, we're talking about low-level people here. Well, you never know. I mean, there's royalty that are probably engaged in all kinds of stuff.
Well,
I won't get into that side issue.
When you have politicians that know that the power behind their payoff is in Europe somewhere, they have just committed treason, high treason, that the founders of this country said should be hung, period.
Said that in the 18th century. Now, and they didn't have access to all the money and the power that they do now.
Stealing was frowned upon. Okay, well, stealing was frowned upon back then. Is it okay now to steal because it's the 21st century?
No, but I think the punishment needs to be changed. I think the punishment is different now. Like, I don't think you can just say you want to put everybody on the end of a rope that's in politics, or that they still have power, they could do something drastic to save themselves. And I would say there must be another option.
Hey, wait. Right. I didn't say put every politician on the end of a rope from a tree.
Not everyone. No.
No, just the ones that commit high treason. There are different levels of treason.
Yeah.
Okay? And
I can support death penalty for people that hurt children, but not necessarily people that are part of a corrupt culture of Washington getting away with
Hey, let's have some dialogue here, okay? Because you just said a key word there. All right. Politician knows full well a vaccine is going to cause a slow death in a child.
No,
and
not necessarily. There
bullshit.
Might be people that take payoffs from pharmaceutical companies and that some of that stuff goes on, but I don't know if every one of them knows that.
Yes.
It might not be common knowledge to everybody.
No. Sorry. Gardasil is common knowledge. You have to be living in a cave in Afghanistan somewhere, and even then you probably know that Gardasil is bad.
I don't know that. I don't think that's the case. I don't think that every politician would know that. I think there's a lot of useful idiots up there, and they're part of a corrupt culture. But I don't think every single one of them that takes a payoff from Merck, takes some lobbyist money, knows that the vaccines are actually deadly, or they believe. I think a lot of them believe in what they're doing, and they're happy to take that money. But I don't think all of them
know
that their Gardasil is that dangerous.
No, if they're not taking the vaccine, okay, that should tell you something right there. They know that
if
the vaccine is no good. Why aren't they taking the vaccine?
Then you could make a case, In those situations, yes. There are some that are very cognizant of what they are doing and some that are useful idiots that just want to take the money.
Right. Well, those that just want to take the money, lock them up in jail for 50 years with no parole. And if they live long enough, they might get out, okay? But the ones that knowingly make children get vaccines knowing that it's deadly, they should get the death penalty because they aided and abetted in the murder of a child.
Yeah, they would be engaged in eugenicist murder. Yeah, in that case, I could agree with you. I don't agree with the putting useful idiots away for 50 years. I agree with, publicly shaming them, removing them from office, basically, maybe a small jail stay or something, but I don't even know if that's necessary. Depends on what they really know. But, I mean, removing them from power and taking on and just publicly shaming them, I think it would be punishment enough.
No, it wouldn't, because then you'd let them back into society to poison society again. And see,
they'd have a precedent. Why don't you give one chance? If they do it again, then they feel the consequences.
Because your idea has been already going on. Your idea isn't something new. It didn't work. It still hasn't worked. They've been doing that. Look at our society today. They let the freaks back out on the street. It doesn't work, dude. Look at society. Your way is the way they've been doing things.
We're talking about corrupt politicians taking money. I mean, if you're talking about removing them from office, publicly shaming them, a very light sentence just to send a message, and then basically
they
can't hold office
again. The act of treason does not deserve a light sentence.
Is that an act of treason to take lobbyist money and to be a useful idiot?
Knowing that it violates the Constitution
and goes against eugenicists, if they know that they're harming people, then they deserve the death penalty. Then we can tie that conversation.
You're so worried about a rebuttal, you're not paying attention to what I just said.
Okay.
I said, I didn't say anything about harming anyone. I said, if they knowingly violate the Constitution and go against we the people, in favor of some foreign national company or globalist company, that is treason. And that calls for, at the very least, life in prison. If they willingly harm people and cause death, then that causes a different scenario to happen where they get put on trial for murder, accomplice to murder, which would be the death penalty at the maximum. But as far as letting scumbags back out in society, whether they're a politician or whatever. The problem with our country now is that they let on the street and they're free to corrupt society. Look at how corrupt society has become. We used to not have the problems we have today, and it's not because of technology. It's because of this garbage acceptance of progressivism, going all the way back before the days of Teddy Roosevelt, because it really started even before Frederick Engels and Karl Marx, back in the 1830s, 1820s. You started getting this, what they later called progressivism. Okay? I mean, this is all documented stuff. You just have to study history to know this.
Yeah, I got you.
Okay? All right? But it's not like some kind of top secret information that you can't find out about. And the more it was accepted and the more they got their foot in the door, the more this country went down the tubes, to the point to where by the time Lincoln got in office and when he did his thing, he wasn't stopped and put in jail for it. He should have been locked up, but he wasn't, because we had already had big corporations gaining control over the political spectrum in Washington, D.C. Washington, D.C. should have never been made a corporation, for starters. That in and of itself.
Yeah, Ray, you're getting into some obscure knowledge, and you do have some good points. I'm not going to dispute that, but we're getting off
that's
the,
really
we're going
not
off
obscure,
the rails.
Dude.
We're talking about
anyway,
dirty railroad tycoons.
Know, but yeah, as far as a blah blah, it does nothing to go through impeachment hearings, even if you got everybody to go one way on it. Unless you're planning on handcuffing the piece of trash, locking him up with no bond until trial, it's no good. It's a waste. You wasted the time of Congress. You wasted money that the taxpayers have to give up.
Oh, don't worry about that. That's at this point, any talking about spending money is
valid. Unless you plan on putting him in handcuffs, what's the point? Okay?
Well, look at Clinton. Yeah, I hear you, but it still sends a message, right?
Clinton, no, it didn't. It didn't send anything. It's, you know what the message was sent in Clinton's case? Go ahead and do it. All they'll do is run you through the ringer as far as saying, bad boy, you're censored. Oh, wow, I'm still in office. That didn't change anything, did it? I can still do what I want. Clinton did executive orders.
Well, I think
you
bring a lot of light. Well, that was a BS thing that they brought him up for impeachment for. But Obama, if you bring him up on all the charges and all the people that still like him out there are going to see all that stuff, and they're not going to be able to deny the truth when it's sitting in their face, and the media is going to be forced to cover it. I think that would do a lot of damage to the progressives, to Obama. Whether he actually gets impeached or not is one thing. I think at the very least you'd see his approval rating drop even a lot farther. That would be a big deal and set a precedent,
If you're going to do that, then also you need to put a warrant out for the arrest of the Rockefellers, the Rothschilds, Nancy Pelosi, and anybody else connected that were pulling the strings of Obama.
Yeah, at some point, in due time. So we'll see.
You'd have to tell them, Baron de Rothschild, you or any of your minions set foot in this country, and they will be arrested and held without bond until trial, period, for crimes against the American people.
Yeah, like people have done against Kissinger and Cheney. Yeah, no, I agree. I don't think the Rothschilds, they stay in Europe. I don't think they'd have any reason to come here anyway.
Well,
they
come to New York and things like that once in a blue moon.
Oh, yeah, you're probably right. All right.
I forget which one. One of the Rothschilds talked with Alex Jones once.
Yeah, I remember that. I heard replays of it. I think so, if I recall.
Yeah. So they, you know, I mean, they do come stateside from time to time.
Right.
They
probably do. Why not?
But anyway,
money in the world. But anyway, I'm going to, Larry,
but anyway,
maybe
yeah,
any other points?
Yes,
it's been a pleasure. It's been a delightful
conversation. As far as the IRS,
yeah.
You know how I feel about the IRS. They should be shut down and locked up, as far as I'm concerned. You know, same with every other alphabet agency. It's, you know, they're all bureaucracies and have nothing to do with the rest of the United States. The only place they have any say-so on the goings-on of things is in Washington, D.C. Once they go out of the boundaries of that, they have no authority, technically, but convincing smaller governments that is another story and another show. But in the meantime, do your thing.
All right.
Talk to you later.
Thank you, Larry.
Have fun.
Will do. You too. Have a great weekend.
Don't do anything I wouldn't do. Oh, I'm just joyous. All right. Later, bro. Bye.
All right. Later, Larry. All right. Let's see if I can jam. I got regular girl here. Let me jam this call in real quick before I jump to break, and then I will cover the three eyes on the other side. All right. Regular girl, what's going on?
Top of the morning to you, Blake. Tippy top of the morning. I'm not Irish,
right. Just
in case the listeners are wondering. But anyway, you know, Larry's right about that Articles of Confederation. I'd like to start there, if I may.
Go ahead. I know, but
infiltrated by Tories, okay? And by the way, I'm not in the left pocket or the right pocket when he started talking about,
right. Let's
say somebody kills a child. What do we do there? Okay?
Yeah.
I say that, no, we don't do the eye for an eye and the tooth for a tooth. We have evolved. Are we not using technologies that were not in existence, say, in 1600? Are we, Blake?
No, we are, right?
Okay, so we have evolved. Therefore, we can use our creativity and our knowledge and our wisdom to deal with the goofballs who have gone so far out of the insanity bank because we're all insane, okay? If you don't believe me, take a look at the DSM-5 and have a good look-see there because we all are. That's the way it is, period. And sometimes somebody goes way far out of those boundaries. What do we do with them? I'll bet we have enough people, the people who are committed to doing the right thing. And we have come, I'm saying, to a time where individually and together in small communities, because that's how we are as people, we don't live alone. You know, we just don't. We're social beings, creatures, as most of nature is. But individually, we have to do the right thing and not make money our God, period. This is because, why? Because we have evolved. We're different. There's a different technology that's happening. Way, way, way back a long time ago, how the rich people guarded themselves was that they built castles and moats around them. Do you know, I bet you do know this, Blake, that there was a time where the ark, meaning the kind that you use in a building, was considered an unbelievable breakthrough in technology? Are you familiar with that?
Oh, yeah, the arch and the capstone. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, I do.
Right?
That's one of the architectural, yes.
Right. So my point about that is that technology does have a thread or a timeline of evolution as well. So way back then, that's what the wealthy did to separate themselves. That's hence we have the word elite, elitists. We have a different technology today. And how the wealthy are guarding themselves and, quote, protecting themselves, because they do know they're doing evil, is through the technologies that we have today. So here's the next point that I want to make, going back to it is the individual that must make choices in just right here and now as you live your day. Am I living for the money? Is money my God? Or is doing the right thing? Because this is how we don't have to do eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth anymore. Because to do the right thing, to pray, whatever word you want to use for prayer, doesn't matter. Good, evil, we all know that. No matter what language we speak, and we must transcend the native language that we're born into and do the right thing and pray because nature abhors a vacuum. The problem is that there are a lot of people who are not doing that, the power of good has been underestimated because of all the programming and the TV, and then I think we have to use our creativity because the biogenesists are still indeed having trouble with recreating that aspect. Now, here's the most important point.
I have heard you.
I've heard you personally, Blake. I've been calling here, you know, for a few years, talk about your conundrum with spirituality. Do you know what the word agnostic means? We've got the atheist, we've got the theist, and then we've got the agnostic. Do you know what the word agnostic means?
Well, I kind of consider myself agnostic. I consider, spiritual, but not really a part of any organized religion, I guess.
Okay.
But belief in a higher power.
Answer the question. Okay.
Sure.
That's great. That's real groovy. And you know I like you, so I'm not giving you trouble, but I know there's listeners, right? You have listeners.
Yeah.
I'm not just talking to you. But I want to ask you this too, Blake. Don't you think, if you think about what agnostic means, don't you think that that's sort of synonymous, not sort of, see, even our language, we're very much programmed to be very wishy-washy, and we can't be wishy-washy anymore if we want to do something, because an impeachment is just a show. That's all it is. It's just another show. We can know that by looking at what happened to Nixon and he resigned, you know, but it's just a show. So that's not going to do any good. We have agnosticism, synonymous with moral flexibility. Think about it. Gee, I'm not sure. Agnosticism, you know, I'm not sure. I think there's a higher power, but I don't really know who he is or what it is. If you don't know what and who it is, then you don't know anything about it.
I don't think anybody knows. So I don't try to pretend I have all the answers or that I know any which way, so I try to just, you know, keep my mind open about that, but I do believe that there is something else
open
out there.
I can't see
any religion. I've studied most of the religions. I just don't have one that really stands out to me where I think that's the absolute way. They have all their facts straight. They know more than anybody else. They make the most sense. I'm okay with being open. And I'm okay with
Okay, Blake, there's a way.
Go ahead.
There's a way to be open and allow for other belief systems, but also be on the fence about who and what a higher power is. Because if you are on the fence about good, let's just say a higher power is good. Would you say that when you say personally, you believe in a higher power, is that synonymous with good? Can you break it down to that?
Yes,
right?
I can't say whether I think God is a separate entity or that we're all a part of God, experiencing ourselves in reality.
No.
Yeah.
I didn't say God. I said, can you at least nail it to when you say you believe in a higher power, does that mean you believe in good?
I would say
the higher power is good. Okay, good.
I just said I don't know if it's a separate entity or if we're all a part of that same thing or if it's all the big source at the end. I don't know. I don't have the answers, and I won't, you know, say that definitively. What I think. I mean, what about you? Do you think that you have a very rigid belief in a way? What are you? What are you, would you class? If I classify myself as agnostic or spiritual but not religious, what exactly would you classify yourself as?
I would say that I refrain at this juncture from classifying myself into any religious or spiritual category because it sets up for a polarization, for a paradox because of the language that we're speaking in, but I will say that it is good. It is good. It is not evil, and it is not wishy-washy, and that there are enough people on the planet, and there is enough in the literature of the planet, meaning that even those who say that the Bible is just literature, that there is enough here that has already been made physical in each other, the good in each other, and the good in literature, and the good in art, and the good in music, and the good in technology, that is where I stand. But I stand now. I'm no longer agnostic, because agnosticism is moral flexibility. And I just, please, I know you want me to, you want to go on with the show, but I really want to throw this in about the Gardasil and about capitalism. It's not just the very wealthy who we have to be concerned about, knowing that these things are slowly killing children. We have a lot of people who are investors. They just do it a little bit, but they do indeed receive a profit every month or every week or so from package bundle investments that they make on, quote, Wall Street, in the world market.
Well, yeah, some of the stocks that are paying up for dividends.
Right.
Yes.
That's right. That's right.
Monsanto or Merck or, I gotcha.
That's right, and that's why I was talking about we as individuals. People, listeners, who've got your stock bundled investments, please take a look at what they're really doing. And, you know,
it's an excellent point, regular girl. It's very well said. I will leave it at that, and we'll move on. But, yes, many excellent points today. Thank you, regular girl.
Thank you, Blake. Hello.
All right, all right, see you later. Have a good weekend. And yeah, I've heard about that, too. I've heard, like, Max Kaiser talking about if you really wanted to make some quick money at the stock market, you could invest in private prisons. But, yeah, you do deal with an issue of morality when you are investing in such things. I mean, there was a dump Monsanto stock day or whatever a couple weeks ago before the March Against Monsanto. Do you invest in that dirty money, or do you not do that? If you're trying to make a buck, you know, Monsanto or any of the pharmaceutical companies or these weapons contractors and all that stuff. Yeah, interesting points. All right, yeah, and speaking of royalty, I was kind of alluding to this earlier because I happened to be on Facebook. I ran across a crazy David Icke headline here, and there is just a really crazy story. Speaking of royalty and hurting children, this is a bombshell and disgusting on a number of levels, but wouldn't surprise me one bit. It's from truthcdm.com. It says, European royals killing naked children for fun at human hunting parties. Yes, I guess this is we've already had that Jimmy Savile thing, and his connections to the royal family, the abuse. And it seems like whenever you talk about some of these awful things, the eugenicist stuff or, trafficking children and drugs, seems like a lot of that stuff is you can kind of point towards the royal families that have been in power for so long, that are so above the law, that maybe they perhaps engage in stuff like this. I don't know. But apparently, I guess there's a few people. This is from testimony before an international common law court of justice in Brussels. So they have five international judges are examining evidence of child rape, torture, murder, and kidnapping allegedly done by global elite members of the, Ninth Circle Satanic Child Sacrifice Cult Network. Weird. Regular Ninth Circle child sacrifices were said to take place in the catacombs of Catholic cathedrals, the Vatican, or private estates in groves and government military bases in Belgium, Holland, Spain, Australia, Ireland, France, England, and the United States. At least 34 child mass grave sites were identified in Ireland, Spain, and Canada, and refused excavation by the respective governments, Crown of England and Catholic Church. Named as present in Ninth Circle activities were, this is a bombshell, Pope Francis, former Pope Ratzinger, Anglican United Church of Canada, and Catholic Church officials, including cardinals, members of European royalty, including Queen Elizabeth and Prince Philip, officials of the Canadian, Australian, UK, and U.S. military, and governments, including the U.S.'s CIA, plus prominent government ministers, judges, politicians, and businessmen from the U.S., Belgium, Holland, Canada, Australia, France, Ireland, and the U.K. So I don't know. I can't say for a fact if any of this stuff is true, but would it surprise me? Not at all. It seems like that's how you rise to the highest levels of power, is you have some dirt on you. And, yes, these crazy – I mean, I can't say enough negative things about royalty. I mean, I understand how it's part of our evolution and how it came to be, and people get into power, great leaders, and then they decide that there's some sort of royal bloodline, and then they pass all of their wealth and their power to their kids, and they keep it within. And, you know, once you get these high levels of power, it's hard to – it's kind of human nature. It's kind of hard to give that up. But you go over, you know, hundreds or thousands of years, and these European family, they just start to, you know, lose touch with the rest of us. And I don't know. I don't know if they could be engaged in this stuff. I don't. I don't want to get off the rails into this kind of hardcore material here, but interesting to note. So I'm going to have to dig into this more, but I guess there is something going on in court. You had to figure after the Jimmy Savile fallout, and we all are well aware that the Catholic Church and their abuses, you know, DynCorp in the United States, I mean, there's all kind of, there's big rings going on. These at the very high levels, we got some real sick people in charge around, and that's all I really the time I want to spend on that. So let me take a very quick break. We'll be back on the other side. We'll get grounded and focus on some of the more well disturbing, but not quite that disturbing news here stateside. Again, the three I's, as I alluded to, which would be Iraq, the immigration, and the IRS. So I've got three more subjects to wrap up in about 12 minutes to do so, but after a quick break, and then we'll turn things over as well to the Hope with CC coming up at the half past the hour here. So let me take a quick break. I'll see you on the other side. Blake the eccentric perspective on Freedomizer Radio.
The Blade Show returns to the Cobb Galleria Center June 6th through the 8th. Nearly 800 exhibitors, free seminars, and new for 2014, Blade University. Learn from knife-making legends. Don't miss the 2014 Blade Show, Cobb Galleria Center, June 6th through the 8th. For more information, visit bladeshow.com.
Are you dedicated to ending the new world order? Well, it's time to make way. Spontaneous order. Hi, I'm Eric Bell, host of Freedomizer Radio's new hit show, For Whom the Bell Tolls, where you will hear current events from a volunteer's perspective, philosophical libertarianism, and a roadmap to a free and stateless society. Tune in every Tuesday at 3 to 5 p.m. Pacific and 6 to 8 p.m. Eastern.
Join us the first Friday of every month for Second Amendment Sisters Week. We'll be discussing all issues related to women and their right to self-defense. We'll be hearing from state reports from all across our nation. So tune in the first Friday of every month at 3 p.m. to Knives, Lipstick, and Liberty, brought to you by Gen Coffee on FreedomizerRadio.com.
Hey, Freedomist, join me, Proof Negative, weeknights, 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern, 6 p.m. to 9 p.m. Pacific, as we fight the New World Order together, right here on Freedomizer Radio, your exclusive home of the Proof Negative Show.
All right, well, that was a quick break. All right, as I've said, I got a lot of stories to cover and not a lot of time. All right, so we'll start with the bombshell out of Politico last night, and that is Lois Lerner. Lois Lerner's emails are likely gone forever. So, ex-IRS official Lois Lerner's crashed hard drive has been recycled. How convenient. Making it likely the lost emails of the lightning rod and the Tea Party targeting controversy will never be found, according to multiple sources. Here is the quote from Orrin Hatch. We've been informed that the hard drive has been thrown away. Okay. So it may just be standard government procedure, But the revelation is significant because some lawmakers and observers thought there was a way that tech experts could revive learners' emails after they were washed away in a computer crash in the summer of 2011. House Oversight and Government Reform Committee Chairman Daryl Issa, for example, subpoenaed her damaged hard drive earlier this week when he asked for all hard drives, external drives, thumb drives, and computers, and all electronic communication devices the IRS issued to Lois G. Lerner. That was Brian just texting me about, can't the NSA get the metadata? That has been suggested by Congressman Steve Stockman and I think some others. And I think, yeah, if we're going to be using this technology, you know, technology is neutral. You know, they say that science and technology, it's neutral and it can be used for good or bad. Well, since we've already well aware that they've been using it for bad and violating the Constitution and lying about it and spying on American people and people around the world, why can't we also, since, you know, before we change the policies, maybe we can also use that technology for good. And here is a situation where that is possible. So anyway, IT experts have weighed in and said, yes, we can get those emails. But the latest news suggests such professionals may never get the chance to try again. And the IRS has even said its criminal investigators who specialize in rebuilding hard drives to recover hidden information from criminals were unable to restore the data back in 2011. But this is only likely to further enrage Republicans who are fuming over the matter and suspect Washington officials drove the selective scrutiny. However, I'm seeing a lot of different stuff in the comments about these articles, and granted, I am no computer expert, but I'm well aware that my emails usually aren't stored on a hard drive. They're somewhere else. Now, there are people – let me see if I – I'll dig into some of the comments, and this article's got – wow, it's getting close to 20,000 comments on this. So, and basically, here's the top comments. Got over four. Look how bombshell this article is. It's got over this. Not only 20,000 comments. This top comment here has got over 4,000 likes. Over 4,000 likes. 4,207 right now and counting. And it's very quick. Very sums it up. It says emails are not stored on the hard drive. They are stored on the server. Okay, and I will move on, and we'll find some more of the top comments before I have to jump along, because I am against the clock here right now, which is good, and had some good, delightful phone banter with Larry and Regular Girl, but, wow, there are so many comments off of that top comment that I'm having a really difficult time getting to the next group of comments here. In fact, that might take me a while because you can collapse the thread, but I am unable to. I've been hitting this multiple times. There's just, I mean, this article is just so, like, it's gone, like, nuclear viral. All right, maybe I'll have to move on. So today, Breitbart has another article, Daryl Issa. Records like Lois Lerner's emails don't just disappear unless that was the intention. So amid new reports claiming, I mean, this is so obvious. I mean, are there any Democrats that can actually try to spin this? Are there any that are going to actually try to say that this kind of stuff just happens? I don't know. I think, well, they'll probably just ignore this until they are forced to cover it anyway. But we'll move on. So if the IRS truly got rid of evidence in a way that violated the Federal Records Act and ensured the FBI never got a crack at recovering files from an official claiming a Fifth Amendment protection against self-incrimination, this is proof that their whole line about losing their emails and the targeting scandal was just one more attempted deception. So ICE is responding to the political story. Let me take a look at some of the top comments on this one. It says, the government email systems are comprised of multiple data centers. The data itself is stored in RAID arrays, meaning that the data is written across multiple hard drives so it can be recovered if any single drive fails. Most likely RAID 6 is utilized, meaning that up to 2 hard drives can fail and the data is still recoverable. There are multiple RAID 6 clusters controlled by a controller. There are also clusters of drives that their sole purpose is to instantly take on the role of a failing drive within a RAID array until the failing drive can be physically replaced by a human. All of these clusters are backed up by, this is very technical speak, but the dude sounds like he knows what he's talking about. All of these clusters are backed up by other clusters in real time. All of the government systems are also mirrored in real time to other geographical locations across the country to prevent data loss in the event of a catastrophe in any single area, and those clusters also have redundancy. This is not your typical computer when you back up your hard drive nightly to a USB stick. These systems are billion-dollar systems from high-level companies. Anyway, we will move on. I know there was another one that was saying that they are a computer rep, and if you give them 24 hours, they could easily dig this stuff up. Let's see here. How about you don't lose emails, no one believes you. Criminal intent, that is the question, along with conclusion. If their intent was to destroy evidence, off to the pen with all of them from holder to learner. Yeah, this is criminal obstruction of justice. This, some people, obviously the emails are very incriminating. They probably lead to the White House. It could be, it could lead to, Holder, I don't know if Holder, but Obama, or who knows how high this goes and what kind of high-level people would be going in jail if they could find this stuff. But the question is, how many people do you throw in jail if they're obstructing justice and destroying evidence? That is some pretty serious stuff. So, but anyway, I will move on in the name of time. Brian says, yeah, exactly. I thought the email data is stored in the server, not the hard drive. I'm on a new computer here. I can with a fresh, brand new hard drive, and yet I can pull up my Yahoo account and go look at my email. It doesn't really matter because it's not on my hard. It's not like I have to go to my old computer so I can, check my email. I can do that on my phone. I can do that on my new laptop. I mean, to say that the emails were lost because they were all stored on a hard drive, I mean, apparently, yeah, you do. I don't know how their systems work. I really don't. I mean, I guess mine are, they don't use Yahoo, obviously, so they use some sort of Outlook. So maybe they do use some of their and store some of their emails on their hard drive. But there's got to be other ways to dig that stuff up. And maybe I'm not the most technical guy, but something is wrong here. And the commenters are all calling that out. Anyway, let me jump on. I know I've got 2 more major stories, and I've got about 4.5 minutes left in the show here. So how about let's pull up. Well, we've got a few bombshells. We'll go from the IRS. We've got the illegals. The headline story on Drudge, or at least it was for a while, is that we have deadly diseases crossing the border with illegals. This is out of the WorldNet Daily. So a flood of illegals has massively surged at the southwestern borders, and the economic impact of medical care, education, and incarceration for illegals forced on taxpayers is bankrupting Arizona. That would be Cloward and Piven. In fact, the next paragraph is going to say that. Why are such swarms entering the U.S. illegally now, particularly children? Well, newspapers in Mexico and Central and South America are actually describing the U.S. as having open borders and encouraging people to come with promises of food stamps or amnesty. It is textbook Cloward-Piven strategy to overwhelm and collapse the economic and social systems in order to replace them with a new socialist order under federal control. Gee, I mean, yeah, this is sounds exactly like what they're doing. Of course, this is all what this is all about. I don't know what to say about this. I wonder if I should take a look at the comments. When I came to America in 1950, everybody went to Ellis Island first. That is where you were checked for communicable diseases and background checks. At least common sense still prevailed back then. Of course, now it's doing for a different purpose. It's to probably swing the elections. It seems to be the most obvious because they are preparing for a landslide victory in November. And, yeah, I mean, assuming that, I mean, Obama, it depends on this. I mean, if he were to lose the majority in the Senate and he got impeached, I mean, obviously the only way to save himself would be to bring in a bunch of people that would actually vote for him. So what do you do? Open up the southern border. Seems pretty obvious. Give them all voting rights, and there you go. You turn Texas blue. You swing enough of the elections to change the outcome, and there you go. Then you can stay in office, and no one. And then you can keep the a steady stream of progressives, I guess. That's the only way to save themselves going forth in the future. Who else is going to vote for the 70-year-old aristocrat trying to run for the to keep the movement alive in 2016? But anyway, what else do they have? I know there's a few other ones. Yeah, Joe Arpaio is calling them out. And a bombshell out of InfoWars, DHS is paying for illegal immigrants to be escorted into the United States. This is also on Drudge, very disturbing thing. This is a solicitation they found out of FedBiz Ops. It says immigration is the ICE is seeking the services of a responsible vendor that shares the philosophy of treating all unaccompanied alien children with dignity and respect while adhering to the standard operating procedures and policies that allow for an effective, efficient, and incident-free transport. The contractors, so they're openly looking for a contractor to handle all these people, to help the government here. The contractor should provide unarmed escort staff, including management, supervision, manpower, training, certifications, licenses, drug testing equipment, and supplies necessary to provide on-demand escort services for non-criminal, non-delinquent, unaccompanied alien children ages infant to 17 years of age. And that'd be 7 days a week, all year round. Transport will be required for either category of the unaccompanied alien children or juveniles, to include both male and female. And there will be approximately 65,000 unaccompanied alien children in total. So keep that in mind. There will be approximately 65,000 in total, and they need 25% local ground transport, 25% by, I guess, bus charter, and 50% by commercial air. Now, that is a, yes, on FedBizOps. That is from the Department of Homeland Security. So here's the next bombshell line from this InfoWars report. It says, how do you figure that they arrived at the – how do they know there's going to be 65,000 children? Nor does it clear up why 50% of these minors are going to be arriving by commercial air. The Department of Homeland Security intends to award the chosen vendor a five-year contract. So, I mean, yes, who pays for it? You do. That's your taxpayer money. They already have a set. I mean, this is a bombshell article. It's on Drudge right now. I don't know what to say anymore. And quick note on Iraq. I will just leave you this because I have to leave, but please follow me on Twitter, Eccentric99. This ISIS group has now seized Saddam Hussein's chemical weapons stockpile. Yeah, I don't know. Do I need to say anything more? And I hate to leave you on bad news, but it is my time to go. So thank you all for listening. And I hopefully hope will bring a much more brighter and more positive show after this. It's been a lot of bad news this Thursday, but thank you all. Got to run. Sorry I'm over my time. Stick around. We got Hope with CC coming up on the other end of this break. Have a wonderful weekend. I'm out.
We have before us the opportunity to forge for ourselves and for future generations a new world order, a world where the rule of law, not the law of the jungle, governs the conduct of nations.
Over My Dead Body. Join Podcast 13 every Sunday at 10:30 Eastern Standard Time, 7:30 Pacific, only on Freedomizer Radio.
pardon me?
Yeah.
All right. Welcome to Hope with CC. Today's show is going to be about hurt people. I'm going to give you a few minutes to get a pen and paper, whatever you want to take some notes on, because I think you'll be really interested in what's going on today. We're going to cover some of the things that we've gone over in the last couple of shows just to bring you up to speed. And as soon as we come right back, we're going to roll some commercials so that we will not be interrupted later. So again, we'll see you in a minute.
You know the Constitution like the back of your hand. You've read books, listened to podcasts, attended lectures, surfed websites, and watched videos. You've made liberty your life's goal, but something seems to be missing. Stickers from LibertyStickers.com. Exercise your freedom of speech with the world's most dangerous bumper stickers. That's LibertyStickers.com. But wait, there's more. You can buy Liberty stickers wholesale. Get them for 99 cents each when you put 100 or more in your shopping cart in any combination. Sell them or give them away. They're great for gun shows, flea markets, fairs, outreach, and more. Earn extra money, promote freedom, and spread the word. Need custom stickers, labels, or decals for your organization or business? Liberty Stickers makes them. Go to LibertyStickers.com to order.
Get ready for the epic new documentary adventure ride of your life. Shades, the motion picture. A view into the globalist domain. Annabella Sabrina's film.
Nothing in this world works the way you think it does. Nothing. Governments do not operate the way you think they do. Banks do not do what you think they do. The police department is not here for what you think it is. Nothing in your world works the way you think it does.
We have the right to know the new world government has been identified, and they thought they just cloned the world economy to bring in a worldwide police state, but instead it's going to bring them down.
You have to stand up. Speak up. Speak out.
Shade the Motion Picture. Order your copy of the DVD today at ShadeTheMotionPicture.com.
This is Mercy. If you're listening to this message, warriors, you are the resistance. Warriors, you are not alone. There are pockets of resistance all around the planet. We are at the brink. Read about it in The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. Available now at newsstands everywhere. The Sovereign is a monthly 24-page tabloid newspaper featuring incendiary content about life during wartime in the age of Obama. Warriors, keep to date every month. Remember to read The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance, available at newsstands everywhere. This alert is for all you boppers out there in the big city, all you street people with an ear for the action. This is Mercy. If you're listening to this message, warriors, you are the resistance. This is Mercy. Mine will be the last voice you'll ever hear. Don't be alarmed.
Did you know most Americans know nothing or very little about the legal system? I am the Rose Colombo, longtime legal activist, legal coach, legal advocate, and the author of Fight Back Legal Abuse, Irwin Award winner.
All right. Hey, welcome to Hope with CC. You're here with CC and the crew. We got Trev and Kev on the side.
Hello.
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 Hello. You can tell we're still whacked out. Today we're talking about stress. Let's talk about stress, baby.
Let's talk about you and me.
Let's talk about all the things that stress us out. Yes, stress, baby. Let's talk about
stress.
There you go. See, you did that pretty. All right. That's what we're talking about today. Things that stress you out.
I want to hear from you guys. Tell us what stresses you out and how you deal with it. You know, what we can do sometimes to fluff you up a little bit. Trevor, you got some stuff going on over here. What? Bring it up.
Some of the stuff we talk about is the little things that happen day to day we can't control.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Like, I think you were talking about, like, traffic jams and things like that, you know. What was it? We were talking about we were going somewhere. Where were we? We were supposed to meet somebody, and we were running late.
Yeah.
So we were talking about, you know, one way to eliminate stress is to give yourself enough time to get lost.
Have fun getting lost. That was fun. Now, how exactly do you get lost?
Yeah, okay. How do you get lost? Get lost. That's how you do that. No, seriously, especially if you're going someplace new, someplace you've never been before. You know, it's like I had to take my son to an eye doctor appointment, and we were like 15 minutes early or something before the time.
Yeah.
They said, because they're like, come 15 minutes early. So we were 15 minutes before that. So we were like a half hour early, and they're like, wow. Yeah, they're like, wow. We're like, well, we always give ourselves time to get lost. And they're like, we love you. You know? I was like, and it does. It takes the stress off. You know, giving yourself time to get lost and enjoying
the lost.
Yeah. Because we did that. What did we do? We went...
This last weekend we were heading to
something.
The park for a picnic, a park we haven't been to before. And so we went a little early and ended up getting lost.
Yeah, but no, we went someplace. I can't remember where it was, and we saw the zombie apocalypse store.
Yeah, we went to that cosplay meetup.
That's right, cosplay. Man, you gotta love that. People dressing up.
Their favorite
cartoon
characters.
No, is it cartoon characters? You know what? I always hear about cosplay, and I'm not really into it. But I can get into dressing up.
Dressing up like what?
Stop it. Stop. We'll talk later.
You can get into it, but you won't tell us where.
You know what? Okay. I'm not talking to you either, man. You're making this a stressful situation. No, but yeah, we went over there and then found that that zombie place. And it's like, ooh, let's go look at that. That was somewhere over near Chinatown, wasn't it?
Yeah.
That was a cool place to go down there. And see, and that's what I'm talking about. It's like, give yourself some time to just get lost and enjoy where you are. You know, how many times do we get to do that in life? You know, always running on a tight schedule or something.
Yeah. Yeah. It drives you crazy if you focus on that too much. It's like you can't make it not happen anymore. You can just find a solution now.
Yeah, it's like getting it, like the traffic jam thing you were talking about, you know, earlier. It's like, okay, this is some stuff I want you guys to post and talk to me up in the chat room. It's like, what do you do when you're in a traffic jam? What do you do? Because there's really not much you can do. You know, all you can do is either enjoy it and get pissed off by it. And if you get pissed off by it, exactly what does that accomplish? You know? You try and think about it. It's like...
Well, sometimes you get pissed off at yourself and that becomes a weird conversation. You're so stupid. Why didn't you leave early? Well,
well, it's a traffic jam. It doesn't matter if you left early or not. You know, that's just it. It's like sometimes it's like out here in Vegas, people. You know, during certain times of the day, you want to stay off of the freeway.
Yeah.
I was like, because you know it's going to be backed up. And if you know it's going to be backed up and you can avoid it. If not, sit there and enjoy it. Kick out something. Carry your favorite tune.
Or get off that exit.
Yeah.
go the back roads.
There you go.
That's
something. That is. We used to like going looking at houses and things like that. Just get off, look in the neighborhood, whatever. Yeah, you can tell we really don't have that much to do in life except get lost and travel around. You wish.
You just got to take it one step at a time. Don't try and leap tall buildings in a single bound. It might take you a few jumps.
I don't know. If you're Spider-Man, maybe. A few jumps.
Or
jump Marcius. This high and stick, and then jump more and stick. I was like, seriously.
Or
it's
Morpheus,
like,
he did it.
Morpheus, yeah, there you go. There you go. So
Neo didn't do it the first time.
Disclaimer, we are not in the Matrix, so don't go jumping off buildings. I'm not afraid.
It will stress you out on the way down. And then you'll think, why did I jump this way?
This is what we talked about last week. Difference between being brave, stupid.
That's right. Fearless and stupid. Stupid also stresses you out. It really does. I was like, why can't I do this? Why can't I find that? Oh, stupid. I'm sorry, that was really wrong, but so true. I'm serious. How many times have we done that? You got bosses who, oh my gosh, will say some of the craziest things or do things to stress you out. And I remember a boss I had who loved to do that, loved to put pressure on you to do things. And it's like, and I would do the best that I could, and that was all there was to it, you know. And you cannot please everybody. You can do your best, and that's it, your best. And because you got to figure it this way, they're either going to like what you do or they're going to hate what you do, and no amount of stressing over it is going to change it. It's like
there's a saying, you can please I can't remember how it goes. I just lost it.
Some of the people, some of the times, but I thought I knew it.
You can please
right
some of the people all the time. All the people some of the time, but you can't please all the people all the time.
There you
yeah
go. He got it. But it's true. It's like you can't please her. You can't, oh my gosh, family. How many of us stress over family? Let's do the Three Stooges if you stress over family. Hello.
Hello.
Hello. Hello. Yeah, that's right. Every freaking body stresses over family. It's like you're either worried about them or you're mad at them or you want to disown them, you know, or you're worrying for them. You know, family will stress you out big time. And you got to figure out what you're going to do. And again, we're just yakking. We're not here giving advice. I mean, I'm asking, what do you do? There are so many things that are out there. You know.
Which family member really stresses you out most?
Don't look at me.
Well, when you work, you have a family that ends up working together, then when the tough times come, then you have that foundation to fall back on. Like when we had the power outage in our house for a couple of weeks. How long was that?
I don't remember. It wasn't just family. It was family and friends.
Yeah.
You know, and we did. You know, you could stress out over it or you could have fun. I mean, stressing over money. There were times when we were dead bang broke. You know? And it's like, what do? You do what you do. Stressing. If you could worry yourself into $1 million, honey, let's start worrying. If you could stress yourself into all the money you wanted and needed, let's start stressing. You go. When you hit $1 million, then I'll do it. You know why? Because you're going to stress yourself to death, and you're going to leave me that $1 million. That's exactly what's going to happen. It's like we get that way. I have a friend. Oh my gosh, my friend Alicia. I love her. All right, because she made this one comment about paying the bills. You only have so much money to pay the bills. That's it. And so somebody called her because she didn't make that month's payment. And she straight up told them, she's like, well, you didn't make the cut. I was like, what? I got so many, I put them in order, and you didn't make the cut. That's all they're doing. You know? I was like, what you want me to do? And that's just it. You get these bill collectors who are – now, I'm not saying, you know, go out and increase bad debt and just blow off crap. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying, you know what? When you do the best you can, it's the best you can. You know,
when you have so little money that you can't rub two pennies together, you learn that money doesn't buy happiness.
There you go. You know, and that was something that my son said. It was kind of cool when we got lost, and he was like, money doesn't make you happy. Family makes you happy. People. And you know, and I love that. And I wasn't going to correct him because sometimes people don't make you happy. You have to make a choice whether you're going to be happy or not. I mean, in the situation, it's, you know, not all situations are great. I mean, I have a strong belief. I have a very strong religious belief. And so I know you probably couldn't tell by the way I act sometimes, but I really do. And I believe that there's a life after this. And so sometimes when people pass away, you know, depending on the circumstances and things, I'm not that, you know, it's more of, I'll miss you. Some people are taken too early, and it's a shame. But I believe I'll see them again, you know?
Yeah.
It's like it's for you to curl up and die because someone else has is really... You know, it's a hard thing for people. That can be very, very stressful. Death of someone you care about, and you know, just missing them can be really stressful. But the thing is, and the thing that I truly believe is, if you love this person that much, and they loved you that much, do you think they would really want you so far down in the dumps and depressed and stressed out that, you know, life's no good? They want you to celebrate the good times, think about the good times, you know.
They wouldn't want you to stop living.
Yeah, it's like, come on. I know I say that. I talk about that. I talk about my death sometimes.
Yeah, talked about that.
Yeah, what do I want?
Like a big band or a dance or just celebrate, have a party.
I do. I want a party. I don't want my body there. It's like, I want a picture of me with my Kiss poster. Well, I have the guy I posed with who was a Kiss imitator. That's what I want up there. My tongue hanging out, my fingers up in the air, you know, and let's just party. Remember, she was insane and crazy, and she loved life, you know, and I would want you to party. It's like, yeah, you're going to miss me. Everybody's going to miss me. But we miss everybody we care about.
It seems like most of the time when you have a funeral, you just have this normal picture of them just posing, and it's not how they lived their life. They weren't just standing there.
What was that? You said something before. It was on Facebook somewhere talking about the way you should die. It's like, do not go gently into that good night. It was like going there, running full steam and sliding in sideways.
Sliding in, saying, what a good ride.
Yeah. I mean, that's the way I want to live life. I just want to jump, you know, and go. Anybody who knows me knows that I'm insane. I'm just that insane where that could happen. And it'd be fun, you know. I was like, woo, woo-hoo.
Most definitely. I could see you doing that.
I could see me doing it, too.
In a way, that kind of reminds me of an Alice in Wonderland where Alice came to the fork in the road. She's like, which way do I go? And the Cheshire Cat, how the Cheshire Cat responded. He says, That depends a good deal on where you want to get to. And she said, I don't much care where. He says, that doesn't matter. Then it doesn't matter which way you go.
Yeah, that's right. You know, it's like, yeah. I was like, that's funny. And it doesn't. It's like, you know, what else? Come on, what else stresses people out? What people? Tell me. What stresses you out? School. I have a friend now who's in school and is totally freaked out because he doesn't have enough time to practice. He's in music. Music is his major. He doesn't have enough time to practice and study and do all the other extracurricular stuff you got to do and work and all that other crap. And it's like, dude, if you do the best, you do the best. You know, I think we put so much stress on ourselves. You know, it's like, you may not hit that perfect pitch. You're going to get some clunkers. We talked about this, too, with failures and things like that. You know, and I really think they all go together. You know, being able to, not being afraid to fail, you know, stressing out, I did that wrong. I was like, yay, you did it wrong. Now you get to do it again. Learn from it. Move on. Or move.
Yeah, most times when people fail, I think they aren't aware of how they talk to themselves, like, this is the worst possible thing. Why does this always happen to me? This copier's always breaking down. Well, it's not literally possible for it to always be breaking down. Most of the time, it works right.
I was like, and here's my thing. Why are you stressing over it? If it's broke, hey, no more copies. I was like, and then you put yourself in stressful situations. Let's go with the copier. You know you've got a big presentation tomorrow, and so you at noon, so you decide at 11 to start making copies, and then the copier breaks down. Yeah, I can see that as being a stressful situation, but you created it. You know, procrastination.
Yeah, wait until the last.
Instead of thinking the copier broke down at the worst possible time, maybe you waited till the worst possible time
there
to get things done.
Wait, the copier didn't do it. You did it. I was like, you know what? And a lot of times we don't take responsibility for our own actions and the things we do. And we'll blame other people for them.
Seems like the minute you encounter a problem, you should start looking for a solution. You don't want to... There's this show, Backyardigans, and there's this one character on there, Pablo. Every time something goes wrong, he's like, oh my gosh, what are we going to do? This thing's freaking... And then they're like, Pablo, let's just do this. And he's like, oh, okay.
They just calm down. There are some people in life you want to do that to, you know? I'm not a fan of hitting, but man, there are some people you would just love to slap. Like, calm down! I was like, cut it out, shake you, you know, and our kids. I mean, our kids, my son had these CRTs this week, or state testing, whatever the school, state, whatever the freak they do, and I'm stressing out more than he is, because I'm just worried he's going to mess this up. He's not, you know, and I talk to his teacher sometimes, because some of the things these kids do, okay, he's in the third grade, and it's like, one minute he'll go 2 + 2 = 4, and the next minute he'll say, what's 2? You know, I'm like, what? You know, and I talked to the teacher. She's like, oh, no, that's normal. Kids do that all the time. They will give you the correct answer one minute and a wrong answer the next. And I'm like, but what if he does that on this test? Yada, 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 yada. But I would not stress him out, but it stressed me the crap out. And I was just like, and all I kept telling him was just do your best. And then he goes in there, and he flies through this test. He finishes like an hour early.
Yeah, like half the time.
Yeah, half the time, and he got a 90. I was just like, what?
What the what?
Yeah, like he said, I just did my best. I was just like, fine. And it's like, and you know, you put yourself in these crazy, crazy situations. And then I started thinking about it. And it was like, well, what would have happened if he didn't pass? And then it was like, there was no pass. They're just testing to see where he is, what we can do. There is no pass fail. I'm like, that's the way school should be. There is no pass fail. There is. How much did you learn? And we're going to learn it again next year. Let's just keep on, you know, line upon line, learning and learning and learning. And it was like, quit stressing yourself out. You know, quit stressing your kids out. Let them have their lives.
Just focus on one step at a time.
Yeah.
Especially in school, they give you a chance to fail again.
Constantly. Constantly. It's like, and I love that one step at a time. You know? It's like, that's what it is. It's like, you can't take, think about it. You can't take the week 4 days at a time. It goes Sunday, Monday, Tuesday. You cannot force it, no matter how much you may want it to be Friday. Friday is not going to get here before it's due. So you got to go through all the other days.
Now you might think you're being efficient when we try to do two things at once or five things at once, and then we end up doing those five things poorly.
Yeah, really. And then you have to go back and redo them because you crapped up the first time. And then your boss gets pissed off, and you get pissed off, and it's like stress, 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 stress.
God didn't do it in one day. Why should I think I can?
Oh, my gosh, that's so true. I didn't think about that. He didn't. He took his time. And you know what I love about it is it says, and then he stepped back and looked at it and said, it's good. I was like, what do you think he would have done if it wasn't good? It's called the flood. Hello? No. Well, I'm serious. It's like you look at this stuff. And I think there was that Will Smith comment we like, you know, about building a brick wall. It's like you don't plan to build a brick wall.
You don't plan to build the best brick wall in the world. You start with this one brick, and you set it perfectly, and you say, this is going to be the best brick.
Yeah.
And you go to the next brick.
Yeah, that's right. You do that one thing as perfectly as you can. And eventually, you'll have a brick wall that you're going to want to tear down anyway. But seriously, it's like you think about that. And, you know, and stress, I'm just going to tell you, adds pounds. Yes, if you don't believe me, look it up on the internet. It produces something called cortisol that actually causes you to gain weight. And
I remember on Freebird that when the little girl ran around telling what everyone is, and like that, tell the one I, she eats her feelings.
Yeah, right. Oh, this is Sarah. She eats her feelings. You know, you know, but it's like I'm a stress eater. Oh my gosh. And you know what? And I could never understand that. It's like, you know, what is it? What is it I'm doing? You know, when you're stressing out so badly, and it's like just chain the refrigerator. And it's like I'm starting to change that now because we get to go work out more. So when I get stressed, and I have to catch myself because stress will cause you to create other harmful situations like alcoholism, drug abuse. Abuse, you know, because you're stressed out or angry or whatever.
You get stuck on that one thing to make you feel better.
Yeah.
It doesn't really work.
Yeah. It's like, and it's fleeting. It's like, and there you go. Then you cause more stress, and then you cause other people to be stressed out on it.
Yeah, we should probably take a little break, and when we come back, we'll talk about what do you use to overcome your stress or comfort you during stress.
Oh, okay.
Ooh, that's a good idea.
That sounds good. We're gonna de-stress right now and get some commercials. We'll be back with CC and the crew.
We'll be back after this break.
You You know the Constitution like the back of your hand. You've read books, listened to podcasts, attended lectures, surfed websites, and watched videos. You've made liberty your life's goal, but something seems to be missing.
Stickers from LibertyStickers.com. Exercise your freedom of speech with the world's most dangerous bumper stickers. That's LibertyStickers.com.
But wait. There's more.
You can buy Liberty stickers wholesale. Get them for 99 cents each when you put 100 or more in your shopping cart in any combination. Sell them or give them away. They're great for gun shows, flea markets, fairs, outreach, and more. Earn extra money, promote freedom, and spread the word. Need custom stickers, labels, or decals for your organization or business? Liberty Stickers makes them. Go to LibertyStickers.com to order or call 877-873-9626. LibertyStickers.com, the world's most dangerous stickers.
You are listening to Freedomizer Radio, where freedomizers freedomize freedom.
Hey, this is Cece, and I just wanted to talk to you a little bit about my show, Hope with Cece. I love to make people smile and laugh, so if you like to laugh, listen. I'm a little bit crazy, and I do not think inside the box. Sometimes I forget there is a box. But what I love most of all is helping people. I love to help people reach for that unreachable star. I love to do everything I can to make you smile. So, if you want to feel joy, if you want to get inspired, if you just want to sometimes get downright crazy, come join me. There's always hope with CC.
Thursdays at 1:30 p.m. Pacific on Freedomizer Radio.
All right, welcome back to Hope with CC and the crew. We're talking about stress today. Let's talk about stress, baby. Let's talk about you and me. Let's talk about all the things that stress you out. Yes, stress, baby. Let's talk about stress.
Little bit.
Anyway, so we were talking about stress. Things that are stressing us out. You know what? I was told the other day that even vacations, when you go on vacation, you're supposed to de-stress, and you come back more stressed out from vacation than when you left sometimes. So these are things we're talking about. People, we want you to chime in. Go for it.
Yeah, sometimes you need vacation from your vacation.
There you go. All right, anyway. So we were talking about stress and some of the things, and we've had a few setbacks here, even with us. Trevor's out today. He's sick, and so, you know, it's a little stressful because he does a lot of work for us, keeping us on track and doing the research for the different things we do. So we truly miss him. Trevor, we hope you get better. Don't stress out. We still love you. But what are some of the things that stress you out?
Money.
Ooh.
Money is very stressful.
Ooh, having it or not having it?
Not having it.
Really? Because having it stressful.
The last few days we've been like, you know, doing the numbers on paper, trying to figure out what we're going to do. What?
I know. I understand. Yeah. It's like when you don't have enough to do the things you want to do with, and you're sitting there and you're scrimping and pulling from every other piece. I was like, I wouldn't be that free with my thing, but okay. But I understand. I understand that stress of not having enough money. It's like, and then you end up with that what are you going to do type thing like you were saying. It's like, okay, so what are you going to do? What are you going to do? You're going to do this, you're going to do that. Remember, I told you about my friend Alicia who she's like, you didn't make the cut. And she didn't stress over it. You know, and that's another thing we were talking about. It's like when to stress and when not to stress. You know, I have a friend who, whose husband just lost his job completely from left field, never saw it coming. So what are you going to do? What do you do then?
It's always very stressful when you lose your job and that. It's like, what do you do? Do you okay, I gotta go find another job, and you gotta redo your resume, and then you gotta do this, and you gotta do this, and then
that's pretty much the way it is. All these things going on in your head. I know. I was like, we just had a major life event happen here, where it just turned our house upside down. So we're trying to figure out what to do. And then there's that, what are you going to do? You know, and I have an aunt who I love, who always says, you know what, you need to just stay prayed up and just let what's going to happen happen. And I keep thinking about that, and I'm just like, no! Okay. And then I still have those moments of, no! Okay. So, you know, it's like, I don't know. It's like, I'm serious. It's almost like being constipated. Push! Relax. Push! You know, it's like, ah! Oh, my gosh. I just compared my life to crap. And it's really not. I mean, I really do have a pretty good life. I mean, you know, I love my family. There are family members that I love. And there are some that I just totally love. And then there are some that are just family. Okay. And family will stress you the hell out.
Most definitely.
And it's like, oh, trying to do something. Tell me something. Tell me a good stress.
A good stress?
Yeah. What's a good stress? Because I know we, you know, there's got, you know, like there's good fat, there's bad fat, there's good carbs, there's bad carbs. You know, what is that? Good cholesterol, bad cholesterol. There's got to be good stress.
Yeah.
People, help me out here. Tell me some good stress. What is good stress?
Well, good stress that I had was, like, possibly working on this movie that I was going to do.
Yeah.
But then I have stressed out because my back's really bad and I might not be able to go do it. I had to tell her that.
So how'd that turn out to be good stress?
Well, I guess it really wasn't. I was good stress that I was going to work on this, but then I was like...
Oh, I get it. Excited stress.
Yeah, excited stress.
There you go. I wonder if
excited
stress. You know, and you know what? There you go. Excited to do something new. You know, that can be very stressful, moving, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Moving. We know some people who move quite frequently, and moving is a stressful situation for them. You know, they can't handle it. I look at it as a new adventure.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, you know, and I'm not saying that I'm, well, yeah, I am saying I'm crazy. I'm not normal. We've already established that. But it's like... I like experiencing new things. You know,
yeah,
for some people,
like,
yeah, for
like
some
new food.
Oh yeah.
We like trying new food.
Yeah, I actually tried escargot and loved it.
Yeah.
I tried it two different ways. I don't like it in the soupy, saucy thing, but I like it when they grilled it, buttered it, and put it in garlic. Everything with butter is better. Yeah. Breaded breadcrumb. Oh, my gosh, that was so good. I was like, I also tried squid and octopus. And sushi lately. You know, I've gotten on a real cool sushi. See, my lips are stressed. So is my tongue. But no, I at Smith, they have a great sushi bar. Oh, my gosh. And I can't remember if it's the California Crunch or the Shaggy Dog or something. It is. Yeah, those are really, really good. But, yeah, it's like going out. It's like I'm one of those, ew, I would never do that. But I tried it. They were giving samples. You know, I like it's adventure. It's an adventure. It's like that's one of the ways you can actually de-stress a situation. It's like you can prepare for things. You know, they try to tell you to be prepared, you know, have a year's food storage and try and have money stored away for rainy days and things like that. That's great if you got money to store away, but if you don't, you just buy an umbrella because rain's going to come, and you just move with it. I mean, there's not much you can do, you know, when some storms hit. I mean, like, they're having a storm now in Florida.
Oh,
my
yeah.
gosh, I saw that.
Jeez. Yeah, real bad, like up to the almost.
Up to your waist. Remember the guy? It was like chest high. Yeah. Yeah. I'm just like, how do you plan for stuff like that? You know, the ones like I've never seen rain like that before. Now, we know down in that area they have, what are those, the tropical storms and the hurricanes and different things like that. But I'm like, it wasn't even, is it hurricane season now?
Oh, it is spring.
Yeah. Okay, so that's there's another way to de-stress. It's like, okay, you know what? It's going to rain like hell, and it's going to come up above my head. Now, it may not do that, but if you're prepared for that, you're fine. You know, it's like, don't stress out about it. And then here's the thing. Unless you're God, you aren't going to stop the rain. You know, I'm just saying. You can't do it. So what are you going to do? You can sit there, piss and moan and stress out about it, or get up off your butt and move. Look at it as an adventure. Call yourself, what is that? What, Jacques Cousteau. I used to like Jacques Cousteau.
Yeah.
Yeah, his underwater adventures and stuff like that. Now I'm dating myself because, yeah, I'm old as hell, but it was fun. It's fun.
And now we see the fish go and moves.
Stop! Stop. I hope he comes to you in your dreams and spear you. That's just wrong. But no, seriously, okay. Okay, so we got money problems. We got job problems. I mean, you know what? If you look at life, it's a problem. Think about it. From the moment you are born, it's a problem.
Yeah.
Because you think about this. In your mom's womb, nice, warm, cozy, no neighbors unless you're twins, okay? Able to suck your thumb, get fed through a tube, you don't even have to chew, crap anywhere you want, pee anywhere you want, nobody bothers you, and then all of a sudden, you're evicted. Okay? It's time to get the hell out. You're evicted, and you're being shoved out butt naked into a cold, dark area with weirdos touching you. Now that should be a thank you and spanking your bottom, unless you're into that, and that's another show altogether. But that's a stressful situation. So from the moment you get here, you're stressed out. People are doing things to you that you don't want them to do. They're shoving things places you don't want them to shove them. You know? So, you know, I was like, this is a very stressful time. And it stays that way. You know, I was watching that cartoon Recess, and they made a movie, and I didn't see the movie, but I saw the trailer where the kid ran into doors and stuff, and they're like, your mom needs to take your temperature, you know, drop your pants. I was like, you know, you don't seem right. Let me take your temperature, drop your pants. It's like, again, it's like these are kids. It's like you're shoving things where we don't want them to go. Yeah. So I'm just saying, you know, it's like life is not all roses. And you know what, you think about it from a kid's perspective. Mm-hmm. You know, we think children have it easy. You feed them, you clothe them, they get to watch TV, they don't have to worry about the bosses, they get to go play. Well, you know, that's not quite true.
Well, going to school is very stressful.
Exactly. They're in a whole new social class because you've got all these different people, different...
Especially when the teacher says, we're going to have a pop quiz today.
Oh, my God. On stuff you haven't learned. Yeah. On things you haven't learned. We just want to see what you know and who's smarter than you in the room. You know, and things like that. And then you get your bullies who have whatever reason they want to be a bully. Some people are just crappy. There's nothing you can do with that. But then you have to deal with them. Okay? You have to deal with your parents because guess what? Your parents are your boss. We pay you. We clothe you. We give you a place to live. So we are not only your boss, We're also your landlords because we can evict you. Okay? We're also your chef because we make your food. Eat it or don't. So you end up in those situations. So it's like, you know, there's stress on every side. And it's like, and it's just the way life is. There are things that are going to happen that we like. There are things that are going to happen that we don't like. I was like, it's how you deal with it that's going to make the difference. Your personality. Actually, your personality. Did you know that? I was listening to, her name is Connie something. And she was talking about how your personality will determine your stress level.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I was totally amazed by that. She's like, if you have a laid-back personality, if you're just one of those people that just roll with it, remember?
Yeah.
It's like, you know what? Things are going to happen, and you're going to take it. You're not going to stress out as much as somebody who's just born stressed, butt cheeks clenched all day long. Okay, yeah. I was like, they're going to handle it different. And you know what? The funny thing is, and she said, and it was truly funny, she's like, if you put those, you know how they say opposites attract?
Yeah, they said there's always one laid back and one kind of stressed out person.
Yeah, and the thing is, that's either a recipe for murder or balance. You know, because they always do that yin and yang. You got to have the good and the bad. And I was just like, you know, if you end up with somebody totally laid back and it's like, honey, I just lost my job. We have no insurance, no money. But don't worry about it. And you're the one, you just laid an egg because it scared the crap out of you. It's like, you don't have a job. We don't have a home. There's no more food. The kids will starve. They will be social pariahs because we won't be able to buy them clothes or shoes or anything. I was like, okay. It's like, really? Is it really that bad? Are you, if you are living that tight where one day your kids are a social pariah and you will be totally homeless and no food, then you need to rethink your life right now. Which is what we're doing. Not that we're that bad, but it's like downsizing.
Yeah, so we can be a lot more happier.
Yeah, it's like, you know, it's like, I don't know, there are so many things that we can do to relieve stress. And I think that's what we were going to talk about in this segment anyway. Let's talk about ways
to release stress.
Yeah.
Do you go with drugs or do you go with...
gin and tonic, that's good. Although I'm not a gin and tonic person. There you go. You know, create those endorphins, exercise. I know, yeah. I know what you call it. I think it's, it's somebody else who exercises to relieve stress.
Yeah.
And there's one lady I know who goes running to relieve stress. I know when I was younger, I used to love to go running, put my headphones on, take off, go for a nice run, look around you, you know, take a moment. You know, like we were talking about, giving yourself that time to get lost.
Yeah.
You know,
go walk around.
Yeah.
Or even go talk to someone.
Yeah.
Just to be your soundboard. Just have them listen. Sometimes you don't have to have them fix it, but just let them listen, and sometimes you can figure it out yourself just to get it out.
You know, a psychiatrist, okay, there's something that really pisses me off, but the fact that you pay them to just listen to you talk. I mean, if you have nobody that will listen to you, okay, but I would like that job, get paid to listen to you talk. Yes. I see that we've talked now for an hour. Give me $400, and I think you solved your own problems. You saw where it's coming from. Figure it out. You know, it's like, well, hell, why don't I just put my voice on the tape recorder and listen to it back? You know? There's your cheap psychiatry. Get a tape recorder. Record everything you want them to say. Make sure you erase it after you listen to it. No evidence to be left behind. But anyway, well, serious. It might help. It's like if you don't have that sounding board, and then, you know, being one, you know, the funny thing is sometimes you have to learn to be a sounding board. You know,
don't try to fix it.
Yeah, you know, you guys always try and fix it. You're like, well, how can I help you? What can I help you do? How can I do that? I'm not asking you to fix it. Just listen. I was like, you guys are great and a pain in the butt at the same time. I was like...
Okay.
Yeah, no, you can go, just, you know. Anyway, we're going to go to commercial. And when we get back, we're going to talk about some more stress. Let's talk about stress, baby. Let's talk about you and me. You're going to be tired of this song when this show is done. Let's talk about stress.
Hi, everyone. This is the Rose, Rose Colombo. Be sure to tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 10:30 to noon Pacific Daylight Time and 1:30 to 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for the Justice Club on Freedomizer Radio. Grab a snack, grab a latte, grab a friend, or grab a stranger. I've been on the front lines for 25 years, and I've been labeled as the crusader for equal rights by the media many times. So join my crusade on the Justice Club at Freedomizer Radio every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 10:30 to noon Pacific Daylight Time and 1:30 to 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time.
Greetings. This is Blake the Eccentric, and I want to invite you to check out my show on Freedomizer Radio, The Eccentric Perspective. Featuring outside-the-box politics, philosophy, and gonzo journalism. But be warned, with knowledge comes responsibility, and you might not see the world the same way again as I attempt to open your mind, speak to your common sense, and challenge your critical thinking skills. So please join me as I cover the latest news and current events Monday, Wednesday, and Thursday at noon Pacific, 3 o'clock Eastern. Only on Freedomizer Radio.
We have before us the opportunity to forge for ourselves and for future generations a new world order, a world where the rule of law, not the law of the jungle, governs the conduct of men.
Over My Dead Body. Join Podcast 13 every Sunday at 10:30 Eastern Standard Time, 7:30 Pacific. Only on Freedomizer Radio.
Hey, Freedomist, join me, Proof Negative, weeknights, 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern, 6 p.m. to 9 p.m. Pacific, as we fight the New World Order together, right here on Freedomizer Radio, your exclusive home of the Proof Negative Show.
Oh, you want to heal the world? Oh, you can't do that. You know, you got to elect the right people. No, change your thinking. Change the way you feel. Change the way you do things. Do everything for peace. Like John Lennon said, walk for peace. You take a shower for peace. Do whatever you do for peace.
Every time you do that, you set a ripple effect out.
Because we live in a vibrational world, and your brain is the instrument. To learn how to direct and control your mind, you guys are superheroes. You know, they don't want you to know that, but you are. You guys are the most powerful people in the world.
We see the power in you to change your thinking. Monday, Wednesday, Friday, and Saturday, only on Freedomizer Radio.
You know, my mother used to say, a long time ago, whenever there would be any really catastrophe that was in the movies or on the air, she would say, always look for the helpers. There will always be helpers, you know, even just on the sidelines. That's why I think that if news programs could make a conscious effort of showing rescue teams, of showing who medical people, anybody who is coming into a place where there's a tragedy, to be sure that they include that, Because if you look for the helpers, you'll know that there's hope.
All right. Welcome back, Hope with CC. We're stressing out. Yeah, and the crew, sorry. It's only half a crew. Stressing out over here. All right. Tell me what you think, people. We've got, here we go. I'm opening up an email we got from someone. Let's see. What does it say? Oh, talking about a stressful situation right here. What do you do when you live with someone that has a mental illness? Oof. I'm not a psychiatrist. I'm not a certified anything, but I know what it's like when you have to deal with someone that maybe has some issues going on. And you know what? Each life is different. That's one of the things I say all the time is we are all different. I mean, even when we're talking about handling stress and different things, you know, your personality dictates what you can handle and how you can do it. So it's like when you're living with someone like that, you, number one, have to look at yourself. I know that sounds really crazy, but you do. You got to look at yourself first and what you can and cannot handle. You know, you got to put limits. I was like, there are things that you can and cannot handle. And once you know where you stand, then you can look where it fits and then what they're willing to do. And they have to look at themselves, too. You know, some people need medication. Some people don't. I personally don't have a there's not a quick fix to that. I mean, you can be de-stressed because you can, you know, take a break. I know there are, community services and different things like that, respite and things like that. If you're dealing with someone, yeah, I used to work in an Alzheimer's place. And dealing with people that have Alzheimer's sometimes can be truly, truly stressful. And they have respite. They have places you can go or places you can take them so that you can get a break. Because seriously, dealing with someone that has a continued mental problem can be really stressful for you. And you just need to take a time out. And don't feel bad about it because, you know, it's recharging. You know, that's why they created weekends from work. Because you can't stay in one place every day, 7 days a week, especially in a high-stress job, and be able to function fully. So you need to take a look at that, you know. See if there's help there for you. There are agencies that will help you provide respite, you know, different things going on, medication. I personally love essential oils. There's a few out there that are just the smell, the feel, they're soothing. You know, they help keep you well. Their wellness, I guess, is what you want to call it, because they can help a lot.
One thing that also does help us is chocolate. When we get stressed out, if we get the craving, and it's like we can't get enough.
Yeah, well, and that's a good and a bad thing, because then you go into stress eating. Yeah. Hello, my favorite friend. But yeah, it's like. But, you know, it says something about chocolate is actually therapeutic.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Does it say what it does?
I'm trying to, I got to find that. Because that's why they were saying that there really are chocolate addicts. Because of the chemicals. And so it's like, really? So it's like, you don't need a drink. Eat a Snickers. Give you the same high. There you go. You know, and then you got...
I always get, like, sugar cravings. I know I do.
Well, you know...
Stressed out.
Yeah, and you get stressed out in your body's... I don't know what that is. I know there's something. See, now you're going to make me look something up. Oh, you're stressing me out. I have more things I have to look up. But it's just because I like to know myself, too. But seriously, going back to Dave, the person who wrote this email, it's like, yeah, it's like when you're dealing with mental illness, you really have to look at yourself first and see what you're capable of taking and dealing with, you know, and that's the same thing. You know what, and that comes with a lot of stuff. Even when you're in relationships, and you know how they're talking about everybody comes with baggage, okay, I think I came with a whole wardrobe, you know, of baggage, tons of issues going on in the back. And, you know, when you start unpacking that emotional baggage, it's like you gotta look at that, even yourself, decide what emotional baggage you want to unpack or which ones you just want to dump into the East River. You know? We don't ever want, we never talk about this bag. It stays buried deep. But, yeah, that's something, you know. Come in the chat room. Tell me some other things that you see, and we'll bring it up on the next show. We'll try and have a recap. I'm not going to promise you because, you know, I'm not normal. I may recap one day and not recap another. So it is what it is. I'm not going to stress about it. But no. But the other things. What other things? We talked about, you know, your parents stress you out. Your kids stress you out. Oh, my gosh. You know, it goes both ways. You got, what else we got? We got
your job.
Oh, my gosh.
That can be very stressful.
You know, and
if you don't like it.
Yeah, and you know, the terrible thing is I would say, yeah, and you can't just go in there with an Uzi because, unfortunately, that has happened a few times. Okay? It's like where people have actually done that. And it's like when you hate your job that much, you know, you really do need to leave. And you can't say, I don't have anything else. Develop those skills. You know, if you're in some place that you hate so much, all right, that it's killing you, and stress does kill. Okay? Stress is a leading cause of just about all the major, all the major diseases that kill, heart attack, stroke, high blood pressure, all that crap. Stress is one of the factors that pushes you over the edge. And here's the thing, even overeating and obesity can come from stress. I think we talked about that before, the cortisol levels and...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I talked about that a little bit before.
Yeah, and the things that's produced by stress. You know, and then it also, like, those eating binges that make you crave sugar and things like that. And I remember Tad. You guys might not remember him. He's my favorite therapist, physical therapist. I had to clarify because most people think I need a therapist. Anyway, but he was talking about how even the sugar, you can't replace the damage that sugar does to your body. No matter how much you exercise, the damage is done. And so, you know, going on eating binges and things like that and consuming processed sugars and things like that, you know, it's killing you. Man, literally, stress will literally kill you, you know? So we it's something we need to look at. I know we're having fun here. I know I am.
I am.
I love my show.
It's always fun.
It's fun, but it also sometimes gives me a little bit of stress, especially when things go wrong and you're not able to do everything you want to do. But, okay, you pick up and move on. And I know it's easier said than done. Trust me, I know it's easier said than done because we're trying to pick up the pieces of different things and move on, too. And it stresses me out until I make a decision. Once you have a made-up mind, my aunt says that a lot. Once you have a made-up mind, all decisions and things are easy. I know there was a, oh, crap, who was it? Who was like, he talked about if you make up your mind ahead of time, you won't be tempted to do things. It's like if you say to yourself, I will never smoke, you won't ever be a smoker because that's something you already made up your mind you will never do. So it's like, so you don't smoke. I don't smoke. I don't smoke because it's bad for me. I just don't smoke. You know, you want to smoke, that's on you. You know, I don't drink coffee. I personally don't drink coffee because I hate the taste of it. I had it, you know, and it was like, ugh. But so I don't drink coffee. So Starbucks, all that other crap means nothing to me because I don't drink coffee. You know, and it's just a made-up mind, things you're not, you know, things you will not do. And if you put that out there, you do that, you're not going to be stressed about it. It's like you look at your family. It's like, I used to think I wanted, I used to think I wanted a big family, but I knew I could not handle a huge family. And so I don't have a big family. And I'm stressed with just what I have. I have one child, and stresses me out to the max. And not because he's a bad child. It's just because I'm a mom.
Afraid of being a bad parent.
Oh, my gosh. You know, yeah. I know moms who I look at as super moms, and that right there will stress you the hell out. It's like comparing yourself to other people, people who are have more money than you, or have a better car than you, better house than you, better body than you. You know, their kids are dressed better than yours. I don't think anybody's cuter than mine, but still. You know, it's like you look at these, or they're healthier than you are, or your family, or whatever.
Or their house looks cleaner.
Oh, my God. Okay, you
like,
know what?
You
that was,
that?
Yeah. I was just like, how do you do that? Yeah. I was like, that OCD kicked in, and I just, yeah. But I'm serious. It's like, you know, if you want to stress yourself out, compare yourself to everybody else. You know, I know I'm fat. I say that all the time. No shame in my game. It's not something you can hide. Okay? I walk out the door. You see me. It's like, damn, she's fat. Okay? But I compare myself to other fat people. I was like, am I that fat? Do I look that bad? And you know, and the worst thing about it is when you're a size, let's say 30, and you're trying to fit into a size 2 pants. If you don't believe me, look at the old Walmart photos, okay? And you got fat hanging out on every edge. You got fat hanging out. It's like, yeah, there's issues there. You know? It's like, why would you compare yourself to that? Why? Like we do things differently. We hold things differently. We lose weight differently. Ugh. You know, you look at people who eat a lot and don't gain a pound. I hate you all. But, you know.
I used to be that way.
Yeah, see, and it caught up to you.
Uh-huh.
I have relatives that used to be that way. They used to eat whatever they want and just flaunt it. Yeah, they got big. Anyway, I'm not going to say that. Uh-huh. But.
Got a big back porch.
Shoot, back porch. RV in the park. I let that go. But, yeah, it's like, so compare yourself to these people. That'll help stress you out. That will help stress you out. If you want to be stressed out, that's what you do.
Compare yourself to other people.
Everybody. Now, that does not mean you cannot admire what people have accomplished. You know, because I admire people's accomplishments, you know, and what they did to get there and do things. I think that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
You know, even the guy you want to do the film with, you know, it's like, look at what he does on low budgets and beautiful films.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, you know what?
Sometimes I wish I could make a movie like that.
But see, that's just it. Instead of wishing.
But I do make stuff, but it may not be as good, but it's still very good.
Well, and then who are you comparing it to?
Yeah, comparing to him.
Yeah, but you're also comparing it to yourself. I mean, we are our worst critics. We look at our stuff sometimes and it's like, ugh, that's junk. That's junk. That's junk.
Yeah.
And it's not junk.
Yeah, because, like, some videos we've made, we were like, that was bad.
And then we showed them.
I was like, wow, that was very good.
I was like, really? That wasn't even our best. It was okay. So, yeah, it's like you get out, you do weird things. You create. Be creative. You know, go crazy with things. You know, I'm like, I like doing that.
Yeah, most definitely. I like being crazy.
Oh, yeah. It's like, that's like, I love, you know what? And I love, okay, inspire insanity. That's what you need to do. Inspire insanity, not stupidity. Okay, we are not jackass. Okay, but my son will, he's amazing. He's amazing because he will come up, kids, when they say kids say the darndest things, yes, they do. And my son will just one day want to be a weirdo. And he's like, you know what? Don't tell anyone. I'm a weirdo. You know? And what he means by a weirdo is he just starts to dance. He will just stand there and dance. He says, Mom, look at this. Yeah, he'll make up songs. I'm eating invisible popcorn. I'm eating... I'm like, come on. I was like, why can't we do that? You know, we miss that. Sometimes, you know, just walking around or driving around or going to the park. I have a friend who likes to just go to the park and chill. You know, sometimes going to the park is really stressful if you have one of those people. Okay, we got to take this guy cranking. We got to make sure we got the hats. We got to make sure we got this. Man, let's do a picnic. Oh, my gosh, I got to have the silverware. I got to have this. I got to have that. I can't go to the park today. Let's schedule it for next week. I should be ready by then. Okay? Come on. You're going to the park. You know, those people are great for vacation. They're great for organizing things. But don't get them at the last minute. And you know, if you're married to somebody like that, you know last-minute trips and things like that freak them out. So why would you stress them out? Give them time. You know, think about other people. Think about yourself and other people. You know, think about who you're married to, living with, loving, whatever. I don't care what your relationship is, but you do. And you should look at what you're, you know...
We've had a lot of great times just doing a last-minute trip.
Yeah.
Just get up and go. And
see, but that's the kind of people we are.
Yeah. We like getting lost and going a new way.
Yeah, we're also procrastinators, too.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we're procrastinators. We like to wait to the last minute. It's like, all right, that's when our endorphins kick in. Ah! You know, it's like, you've got to do a 45-page project, and it's due in an hour. Okay. When did you know about it? 4 months ago. I've been prepping to prep for the last 3.5 months, okay? So it's like, you know, we do those things. But, and then you can't be pissed off because you screwed up. You know, you get stressed out because you screwed up and you waited till the last minute. Well, stop waiting till the last minute. You know, I know these sound really easy, but people fall down on them all the time. You know, and it's even with diet and exercise, okay? Because we talked about that. You guys know I talk about that a lot. It's like because I'm into it. I'm trying to get healthier. This is my year to do it. Oh, by the way, the newest things, I've lost 12 inches off my waist. I don't know how many pounds because I'm afraid to get on the scale right now. So only because I don't like scales. They lie. Measuring tape never does. But what I was saying is diet and exercise. Okay, so you screwed up on your diet today. You ate something you weren't supposed to. You know, don't stress about it. Don't kill yourself over it. Oh, my gosh. Do you realize stressing about a diet adds pounds to you? Yeah. So if you screw up on your diet and you stress about it, you just added 15 pounds. Okay, I'm lying. It's not 15, but still. But that's what you do. So it's like, okay, you know what? I ate a piece of cake. Damn it, it was good cake. I enjoyed that cake. I'm not going to stress about it. You know, by taking that attitude, you will lose weight? Yes, you will, because you won't create those stress hormones that will take that cake and turn it into fat. And then you can say, you know, that was the best damn cake there was. I think I'm going to go for a walk just to look at the sky and flowers and whatever. And guess what? You end up walking off the cake. but you also end up de-stressing your life and making happy little hormones.
But don't have a big slice. Have a little slice.
You have a little slice. Little. And if you ate the whole cake, so what? Okay? Unless you're bulimic, you can't get rid of it. And even if you are bulimic, you can't get rid of all of it. Ha ha! Icing turns to sugar real quick, and you can't throw up blood. So there. Oh, my gosh. I'm sorry. You guys know I take left turns all the time. Left turn. Anyway. But seriously, it's like, don't stress it out and exercise. I exercised so much one day that I was sore for 2 days. And the weird thing is I wasn't exercising to lose weight or anything. I mean, it originally started out that way. But then what happened, I exercised in my pool. And what happened was I got into just this real state of peace, and my eyes were closed, and I'm running and doing things in the pool, and I wasn't paying attention. And before I knew it, I had been in there for 3 hours exercising. Ouch, because my body's not used to that. But it was feeling so good to be able to have the freedom of movement and to not think about things. It's like, get out there and find a moment to not think. I know Mark Gunger talks about the guys having a nothing box, where you guys, it's like, hey, what are you thinking about? Nothing. And that's a true thing. I think women need to construct the nothing box. And here's how we're going to do it, women. We're going to ask the men. Okay. We're going to stress them out to show us. We're going to ask them about football and basketball and how you do stuff. And watch their stress levels go up if they try and teach us. That's just wrong. I'm sorry. But I'm serious. We need to have that nothing space. And sometimes women's nothing space, I realize we do have them.
Okay.
It comes from doing something. It really does. It's like reading or knitting or sewing or something that makes you happy. I love to read. You know, I like suspense novels. I like suspense movies. I loved Murder, She Wrote, you know, even though it was predictable. But still, it's like I like those types of things and brain teasers and things like that. And it's like, so just take a moment. Take a moment for yourself. That's really, really important. If you're going to de-stress, you really, really need to take a moment for yourself.
Most definitely. Sometimes it's the best thing. Just you need that personal time to, like, meditate or just the time to yourself. Sometimes that's all you need to get yourself back on track.
Yeah, I remember we used to talk, and it's like you get stressed out, and it's like, honey, you need to go away. And you would go down to Fremont Street.
Yeah. I used to love going down there, take pictures or just listen to the music or something.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like a mini vacation.
Yeah, seriously. I'm like, seriously, you can actually do that. We actually do that. It's like husbands and wives need to do that for each other. You know, if your wife is there with the kids all day, you really need to have a day where you give her a day. I mean a full day. Yeah, you know what, guys? If you really, really, really want to give your wife a great day, get her a hotel room. Get her a hotel room for one night. And you take her there and you leave her with just her, where she can read, lounge, go out without little miniatures of ourselves yanking on us, asking us questions, needing everything.
Yeah, there's this new movie that's just coming out for this Mother's Day. It's called Mom's Night Out.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm going to have to see that.
Oh, it looks funny. It's like some bad stuff happens on their night out, but because the one father left the baby with the tattoo
okay.
artist. And
okay, we cannot do that because that will totally screw
That one looks, I want to see that movie. That looks like a very good
You know what's funny, though? It talks about that. I've seen a lot of that on Facebook. It's like when you leave dad to babysit. I was like, oh, come on. You know? And the song. You remember that used to be your favorite song, Mr. Mom?
Oh, yeah.
You know, it's like the crayons go up one drawer higher, you know.
Oh, yeah, I love that song.
I love that video that goes with it. Yeah. It's like, you know.
Oh, yeah, what's Barney for the 18th time?
That's right. It's like, you know, and that's what moms do, you know, and some dads. And you know what, ladies? Turnabout is fair play. There comes a point when dad needs to not be a dad. He needs to not be a dad or a husband, and by not being a husband doesn't mean he gets to fool around with any floozy that walks through, because then then he'll not be a husband, he'll be a eunuch, okay? But what I mean is a moment where they can have it to themselves, where, you know, we all need that time. You know, I mean, even your teenage kids need that time. I would never, ever, 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 ever give a teenager a hotel room, okay? But I may let them have a free mall run or just, you know, something where they're not the kid. You know, actually, you know what? You should try the role-playing thing. You should actually let them be the boss for one day, you know? Let them decide, okay, this is day. Tell me what you're going to fix for food. Let them grocery shop. Not only do you de-stress their life and yours, but you're also teaching them how to live on their own and take responsibility in the future. You're giving them the opportunity to learn by giving them the freedom, and it's constructive because it's safe. You're there to help, but you cannot give any input. And what I mean by that is you can't say you're doing it wrong, da 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 da. You got to wait for them to ask you for help. If they need help, you know, we can do that. But if they don't need help, let them struggle. One of the best advices I ever got from my son's teacher was let him struggle for a moment. Let him figure it out. Now is the best time to let them struggle and figure it out, because there's a safety net. If you wait till they're out there on their own, oh, man, the things that can happen.
And
you know,
also that great interview you had with Andrea from Gopher Note.
Oh, yeah.
About failure, and you got to fail your way to success. So if you do it wrong, you learn more than you do actually getting it right.
Right, and seeing by making it a constant, by giving them that day.
Hooray, you failed.
Yeah, you know, it's like, okay, you screwed up. This was your day. You screwed it all to hell. It's just totally jacked up. But you know what? We're going to give you another day. Look at the things you did wrong. See what you want to do different. Just because you messed up this time doesn't mean you're going to mess up the next time. Okay? So you can de-stress by realizing, number one, this is my life. It truly is. And there are some situations that I cannot handle. Well, guess what? You need to make your mind up before it happens that this is something you can't handle, and then don't do it. And if you have done it and you need help undoing it, there are people and places you can go to get help. Sometimes you just need to go to help. Uh-huh. You know what? And that's just it. You can go get some help. You know, and don't think because you failed, you're a failure. Don't stress out. Don't think because you lost your job, you're a failure. You know, because you're not. Things happen. Okay? We are born to survive. We can do this. And we can do it together. I mean, there are many people out there willing to listen. I'm willing to listen. I know I yak a lot, but you know what? You got my ear. You want to say something, say something. You know, I this has been one of my favorite shows, because stress is in everyone's life. Oh, my gosh, I know it's in mine. And I add more stress to my life every time. It's like trying to de-stress. I'm sorry, it sounds like someone's knocking and trying to get in, which means it's time for me to go. So, all right, you know what? It's been wonderful talking about stress, baby. Let's talk about you and me. Let's talk about all the things that stress us out. Yes, stress, baby. Let's talk about stress.
Little bit.
There we go. And you know we got the Weekend Vigilante coming up right after this. You guys stay there. We got Proof Negative coming on later on this evening. And I want to thank Blake the Eccentric. I love his show, and he's a great guy. And all the people on Freedomizer Radio, I love this crew. I want to thank you for the opportunity to allow me to be me, silly, crazy, and out there. And I want to tell you that I truly do care for you, my listeners, because if it weren't for you, I wouldn't be here. So remember, there's always hope with CC. And the crew. We'll catch you next time. Goodbye.
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 Hey, this is CC, and I just wanted to talk to you a little bit about my show, Hope with CC. I love to make people smile and laugh, so if you like to laugh, listen. I'm a little bit crazy, and I do not think inside the box. Sometimes I forget there is a box. But what I love most of all is helping people. I love to help people reach for that unreachable star. I love to do everything I can to make you smile. So, if you want to feel joy, if you want to get inspired, if you just want to sometimes get downright crazy, come join me. There's always hope with CC.
Thursdays at 1:30 p.m. Pacific on Freedomizer Radio.
Lindsay Williams on Freedomizer Radio.
Seems things are happening so fast now. And again, I want to thank you for the privilege of allowing me to be with your audience and with you tonight. Everyone out there in your listening audience, they should listen to you every single day. Don't you miss a program. Lord bless. Everybody set that spiritual house in order. It's the most important thing.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kid's PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.